The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, May 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two plainclothes police officers in Philadelphia discharged their weapons on Sunday night after they witnessed a drive-by shooting that claimed a man's life, according to officials. It happened just after 6:40 p.m. near the intersection of East Pastorius and Baton Street while the 14th District officers were investigating an unrelated homicide in the city's Germantown section. Investigators say a dark gray or silver Nissan SUV pulled onto the block and two or three suspects started shooting at the 31-year-old man who was walking down the street. Police say the officers unmarked car was also struck. The officers identified the vehicle and returned fire. Investigators say the suspects fired 27 bullets and hit the victim 15 times.
Oh my God.
The victim was rushed to an area hospital by police where he later died. Two officers fired approximately 9 gunshots. Investigators say it doesn't appear that bullets from police injured anyone, but the entire incident is under investigation. No arrests have been made. Anyone with information is asked to call police at 215-686-TIPS. The countdown is on until disposable bags are a thing of the past in New Jersey. The Garden State's bag ban goes into effect on Wednesday, and it isn't just the plastic bags. It includes paper bags as well. Starting May 4th, stores will be banned from giving single-use plastic bags, the ones that store clerks typically drop your groceries into at the checkout. Governor Phil Murphy signed the ban into law in 2020. Now people will have to bring their own or buy reusable bags at various stores. State officials say the ban also includes paper bags for most grocery stores. For those ordering pickup, some stores have said that they will add the cost of reusable bags to the bill. 7 hours of consistent sleep is ideal for people in their middle age and upward, research from the University of Cambridge suggests.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
What's that? It ain't happening?
Yeah.
7 hours.
For me, during the week, no.
Scientists examined data from nearly 500,000 adults between the ages of 38 and 73 for the study. The team found that 7 hours per night was the optimal amount for cognitive performance and mental health. It also keeps, Steve, that's the problem. That's why you're not mentally
I know.
Stable.
That's why I'm mentally unstable is because of my sleep deprivation.
It also helps keep the brain healthy by removing waste products, according to the study. Now, researchers say that lack of sleep may also hamper the brain's ability to rid itself of toxins. People who experience anxiety and depression sleep for longer or shorter durations, according to the researchers. Professor Barbara Shankian from the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Cambridge is one of the study's authors and says that getting a good night's sleep is not only important
Is it important or is it not important?
How much sleep did you get last night?
It's important at any age, but particularly important as people age. So finding ways to improve sleep for older people could be crucial to helping them maintain good mental health and well-being and avoiding cognitive decline, particularly for patients with psychiatric disorders and dementia.
You know, this actually stands to reason, Kathy, because the sharpest people turn out to be the dead people. the big long nap.
I'm good for 7 hours, though. Like, if I don't get 7 hours, I'm going to be tired.
Yeah, that's kind of my, that's what I aim for. Like, I gave up on 8 a while back. I would have to go to bed way too early to get 8, but I can do 7. And I get, if I'm not getting 7, I'm getting like 6:45. So I was happy to hear this.
What time are you asleep at usually, Preston?
9.
9? Okay. Yep. God bless you.
Yep.
Steve, what do you get per night?
7 minutes. Yeah. No, I'm asleep by either 10:30 or 11 and up at 3:35 because it just seems like a better number.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But you know, during on the weekends though, I will sleep, and Dr. Mike has said, you know, maybe I'm just one of those people who is an idiot.
Well, you know what they say, like, you can't catch up on sleep, and I still to this day that is not the case for me because I could catch up any day.
Yeah, it is awesome.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
Your brand has the
sports. The Sixers and the Heat begin their second-round series tonight in Miami. Joel Embiid is expected to miss the first two games and will be re-evaluated midweek. According to multiple reports, there is some hope and optimism that Joel Embiid could play with a mask and play through pain, starting with Game 3 and 4 in South Philly, which will be on Friday and Sunday. Tip-off for tonight's Game 1 in Miami is scheduled for 7:30. The Phillies lost to the Mets last night in Queens 10-6.
What the f*** is this?
Dominic Smith went 4-for-4 with 3 RBIs to back Max Scherzer, and the Mets won their 7th straight series. Jeff McNeil also had 4 of New York's 15 hits, and Starling Marte drove in 3 runs. The Phils are off tonight before opening up a series at home against the Texas Rangers tomorrow night at the ballpark. And the NHL playoffs begin tonight with 4 first-round games in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Bruins will take on the Hurricanes in Carolina, and the Tampa Bay Lightning will travel to Toronto to play the Maple Leafs. In the West, the St. Louis Blues will head to Minnesota to play the Wild, and the LA Kings will travel to Edmonton to play the Oilers. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. As you can hear the din of activity around Kathy, she is out broadcasting live as we are doing Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids. And we're actually later on this morning going to talk to the founder of Wigs for Kids, Mr. Jeffrey Paul.
Cool.
And get some of the details about what this great organization does. But Kathy, this stuff starts well before the sun comes up, doesn't it?
Yep. So we've started. I mean, and gosh, already what I've noticed, and well, we'll see as the morning goes on. But the people that were sitting in the chairs, like the first 6 people that got in here, or 7 people, every single one of them, their hair was, I mean, down their back. I think that a lot of people waited because we haven't done this in 2 years. I think people waited for this event, and everyone just has extra long hair.
Yep. And you are at Gravity Hair Salon.
Yep, I'm at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. We also have haircuts taking place at David Arnold Hair Salon. All of the styling products, all of the hair products being provided by True Beauty Concepts. And then Duncan is here with some coffee and donuts for everybody.
Nice. So everybody's filled out. All the appointments are taken. And this should be great. Any idea what the total will be by the end of the day?
No, you know what? We'll be able to keep track of it. I think now that it's like 2 separate places, we can kind of keep track of the ponytails, and we'll let you know.
Okay, excellent. So we'll check in. Kathy's going to do her regular segments on the show
throughout
the course of the morning. So
awesome.
We'll be checking in, see how things are going. And yeah. This is just one of those activities that immediately people sign up for, and it sells out we fill all the slots within like the first couple of days.
Yeah,
it's amazing how people want to help out with this.
You know, press over the weekend, there was we actually haven't had as many cancellations as we normally, you know, you'll get a few people, but over the weekend one person canceled and it was booked up right away.
Wow, excellent. All right, well, we'll see how things are going throughout the morning and find out how you know, it's all moving along. We also have a few other things to mention. We have a new Word of the Week prize. We have summer concert ticket passport. 4 tickets to each of these 4 shows that are part of Live Nation's Concert Week. So we have MMRBQ, Coheed and Cambria, the Black Keys, and the Killers. And we're going to give that away at the end of the week. So make sure that you're listening for the letter of the day, the word of the week, the end of the program. By the way, you can get $25 all-in tickets to more than 3,700 concerts nationwide for 1 week only, on sale this Wednesday at 10 a.m. through Tuesday, May 10th. So a heads up on that. On top of that, we have the Concert Cash that continues. Your chance to win $500. MMRBQ tickets, 8 o'clock is when we will begin that whole thing. But in the meantime, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. There was a load of entertainment stuff that happened over the weekend, so we'll dive into all of that and a stupid question and more. Stay with us. We will be gone shortly. Actually, we'll be back shortly. That's what I meant to say.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, do me a favor. Tell Rodney that your volume went way down again. Okay. If you could, please. We have Rodney, the king of audio, on location.
The master.
Yep, he is. He'll get things worked out. But let's try you now, Kath.
Okay, Rod, you can hear him, right? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up. So he is saying that you should be able to hear me. Can you?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Yeah we've got it. I've got the volume pinned all the way up back here. But
Kathy, was it Rodney's thumb or middle finger? That was it.
Right? Oh. Yeah. He was like, they can't hear you. Whatever.
Would you get off my back?
Wigs for Kids and... Kathy, by the way, with Kathy's cuts, what time are you guys doing the last appointments today?
The last appointments come in at 10 o'clock, so we'll probably be, you know, out of here by like, well, they'll be, the last appointments will be out by like 11 or so.
Okay. We have a good shot of gravity and people in the chairs getting their haircuts. By the way, as you've pointed out many times, Kathy, it's not simply just lobbing it off. They're getting an actual hairstyle.
Yes, they are absolutely getting a hairstyle. Every chair is full here. The salon that we're at has an upstairs as well, so there's people upstairs. Oh, nice. So what you guys are probably seeing is the downstairs where I am. But I have to reiterate, because other people are walking in and everyone's hair is so long. Listen, we did put an emphasis on, because Wigs for Kids changed their requirements, and you actually have to have, they say 12 inches will work, but they prefer 14 inches of hair. So every single person that has sat down in the chairs here so far has cut at least, if not more, 14 inches of hair. There's a guy who's in one of the middle seats over here. He walked in, he looked like a werewolf.
What guy doesn't want to look like a werewolf? Yeah.
But you have to see him now. I walked by him, I was like, oh my God, he's so cute.
There you go.
Nice. So Kathy is, like we said, at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. The other location is David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. We're getting early reports, Kathy. There's a small riot that has started over there because you're not there, and they all expected you to be there. So.
Oh, no, the riot at David Arnold.
Yeah.
You know, we did anticipate this. Yes. I think the police over there in Jenkintown are ready for it. So it should be diffused.
Bill thought people would be very upset if Kathy wasn't at the other location.
Yeah, you know, everyone gets it. They know that you can't defy the laws of physics.
No.
Hey, and just real quick, before you guys go, I do want to thank True Beauty Concepts. Normally, we are at their location, but because of COVID, and we weren't quite sure where it was, you know, where we were going to be with everything, we separated. We have it at two salons. But True Beauty, you know, they wanted to stay involved, so they provided the gift bags. People who are donating their hair today, they leave with a gift bag full of products that came from True Beauty, and then all of the, both of the salons are using hair products from True Beauty Concepts in Southampton. And then also, I want to thank Dunkin'. There's bagels, coffee, donuts here, and then we have balloons by Victoria. Donated balloons. You guys have to see. I'll send a picture over, but it's she made scissors, and it has the Kathy's Cuts and Wigs for Kids logo on it.
Nice. Excellent. All right, well, we'll check back with you later on, Kathy. Thank you very much. In the meantime, we're going to do a stupid question, and we are going to give away as a prize pair of tickets to see two of the nation's top comedians, Eric D'Alessandro and Vic DiBattito, together for the first time. Should have read this ahead of time.
No, that's a tough name.
Hotel in Philadelphia. Yeah. So the question that we're going to ask this morning is, what is Star Wars character Emperor Palpatine's first name?
Oh. Yes.
And it's not Chuck.
Not? All right, I'm just going to guess Chuck.
215-263-WMMR. What is Star Wars character Emperor Palpatine's first name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'll mention some birthdays while we are waiting for you to call in. Today is Monday, May 2nd. Lou Gramm of Foreigner celebrates his birthday today. He is 72 years old.
Always a fan of Lou Gramm.
Me too.
Foreigner kind of was appreciated. Foreigner never was a massive fan, but I always liked him a lot.
They're a hit machine.
Yeah.
You know, they were one of those, a rock hit machine, and they didn't do anything that was real deep or intense, but real catchy. And Lou Gramm, very powerful voice.
Absolutely.
The lead singer. Yeah. He could really hit some notes. And, turns 72 years old today. Actress Christine Baranski.
Uh-huh.
You know from the television Sybil and The Birdcage.
I like
and
her.
Ugly Betty and Bowfinger, one of my favorite movies she's in. She turns 70 years old today. Sarah Hughes, who was a 2002 Olympic gold medal winning American figure skater, is 37. David Beckham celebrates his birthday today.
His boy just got married.
He's 47. Did he?
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got married to the daughter of a multi-billionaire.
Of course. I remember when the kid was born.
Yeah.
We were like, Brooklyn, that's an interesting name.
Yeah. What? What is that?
He's 47 today. Hey, it's Dwayne Johnson's birthday today, and a big one. The Rock turns 50 years old.
He's 50.
Today. Yes.
Have you ever seen the trucks that travel with his portable gym?
No.
I think I have.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at him in his wrestling days, he was nowhere near as big as he currently is in his acting days.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you, so he gives himself one cheat day a week?
Yes.
Have you seen, like, anything, like, what his cheat day looks like?
He eats steam.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He goes.
Does he?
Yeah, he eats, like, 6,000 calories.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, I guess when you spend, like the joke, you know, all you have to do is work out 6 hours a day for 20 years.
Yep. He's 50 today. Then you have Donatella Versace.
The lizard.
Sister of the late designer Gianna Versace. And, yes, destroyed her face with plastic surgery.
She showed up at, was it the
Grammys.
The Grammys.
Yeah.
She got up on stage, Preston, for a brief second. And, of course, security charge. Animal control came running in because they wondered what the hell was going on.
They had the big nooses on the end of a pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, to catch her with. Wow.
I think she's having, like, a second coming where the younger singers are embracing the Versace brand.
You're right. She's become chic again. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
67 today. Steve, this is for you and I. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Has his birthday.
You know, he
today.
Sings us to sleep after the lovin'.
After the lovin'. That was his big hit.
He was one of those, you know, like your friend's mom was into Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like B.J. Thomas.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's a good-looking guy who had you know, a ballad that
he's
the
at the Valley had. Forge. I'm seeing him Saturday night.
There you go. That's it.
He's a raindrops keep
falling. No, that was B.J. Thomas.
Yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Had a song called After the Lovin'.
Oh.
So I sing you to sleep after the lovin'.
With a song I just wrote yesterday, I think.
And then the last birthday I saw is Ellie Kemper.
Oh, I love her.
Bridesmaids, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, The Office, and more. And she is 42.
Did you get into Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I watched a few episodes. It was fun,
but
it never really grabbed me.
The ensemble is so damn good in that show.
All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to a stupid question. What Star Wars character, what is Star Wars character's Emperor Palpatine's first name? And we will go to Lucas and see if we can get the answer.
Luke, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Lucas, what is Emperor Palpatine's first name?
Sheev.
Yeah. That is correct. Hang on, Lucas. We're going to give you...
Is his full name Sheevan?
We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the two of the nation's top comedians, Eric D'Alessandro and Vic DiBattista, together for the first time Friday, May 13th, Live Casino and Hotel in Philadelphia. It is the launch of their much-anticipated Funny How Tour. And showtime is 10 p.m. Tickets are on sale now via AXS.com. You must be 21 or older. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Sheev sounds like... That sounds like a nickname. Dude, tell Sheev.
Sheev, go get Sheev's it, man.
Where is he?
Sheev,
go Sheev. Where's Smog, man?
She's back with the blue milk.
Yep. All right. Let's go through the box office take of the weekend. Number one was The Bad Guys. Made $16.1 million.
To be honest, I didn't know if that would do anything, and it's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Who's in that?
It's an animated, it's DreamWorks, right?
Yeah. So
the first in a while.
Who's the dude that you love, Press, who was in Iron Man 2 and Moon? That guy. Sam Rockwell. Yeah, he plays the wolf.
And that's right.
What's funny, so they're, like, normally they're bad guys. They are, you know, like bank heist people or animals, I should say. So at one point in the beginning of the movie, Sam Rockwell's character, this wolf, this lady like drops a wallet and he's like oh, and he picks it up and he hands it to her and she starts petting him like, oh my God, thank you so much, and yeah, that you're so sweet. And he has this like reaction like, wait a second, what's going on here? And his tail starts wagging and he's like, wait, I kind of like being a good boy.
Right.
And so that sends him on this sort of journey to like,
we
don't have to be bad guys after all.
Second was Sonic the Hedgehog, followed by Fantastic Beasts, The Northman, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once was fifth. Then you have The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, followed by The Lost City, Memory, Father Stew. Oh, there's two Memory movies. There's Memory, Open Road is number eight, and Memory from Sony is number 10.
One of them is the Liam Neeson one, which apparently was a bit of a bomb because it only made $3 million.
Okay.
It was a terrible movie. I have a special skill that allows my movies to open in the bottom three.
And I don't know what the other memory is.
I can't remember.
My memory is horrible.
My memory escapes me.
All right, let's start with this. Judge on Friday threw out part of the case against Kim Kardashian in the Black China lawsuit while the jury deliberates on the elements that remain. Judge Gregory Alcorn ruled that China's attorney Lynn Ciani did not provide any statement during the trial from Kardashian that was defamatory toward China. The case against Kardashian for interference with a contract remains alive. The jury is deciding on that, and both defamation and contract interference cases against Chris, Khloe, and Kylie. Jurors went home on Friday without reaching a verdict after their first full day of deliberations. Their instructions had to be revised after the Kim Kardashian decision, and attorneys and
as it will be known from here on in.
And the judge answered several questions. Okay,
that's legalese.
They're scheduled to resume today. China's lawsuit alleges that the women falsely told television producers and executives that China had violently attacked then fiancé Rob Kardashian in December 2016 in an attempt to get her reality show Rob in China canceled.
Again, by comparison, you have the Depp and Amber Heard trial, which is so much more interesting. This is kind of boring.
Yeah, I don't have anything on that one, unfortunately. But I do have this. Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian made their red carpet debut at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday. Politicians, journalists, celebrities all came together for the event hosted by The Daily Show's Trevor Noah. And during the dinner, Gayle King shared that she and Drew Barrymore were asked to move from the red carpet when Kardashian and Davidson arrived.
Come on.
And listen to this quote. She said, "We were about to step on the red carpet," and they go, "Gayle, Drew, move. Keat are here."
Keat. Oh, you kidding me? Keat?
That's awesome.
I had not.
How about Pim?
I had not heard the term Keat yet.
Pim.
But they said Keat are here.
Oh, wait. Is Keat what Kanye calls them?
No, it's.
No, he calls them Kim Skeet.
Kim, yeah.
Skeet.
Skeet is a it's derogatory term for semen.
This is Kim and Pete used together. So, anyhow.
It's disgusting.
Noah joked that the dinner was, quote, the nation's most distinguished super spreader event, suggesting that guests should have thought twice about attending after Anthony Fauci declined his invitation. But Pete Davidson thinks it's okay, Noah had said.
Well, there you go.
Trevor Noah, by the way, did say he made a bit of a reference to the Chris Rock slap from Will Smith. He said, "It's risky making jokes these days. I mean, we all saw what happened to the Oscars."
Hocus is up!
While he was headlining the event. By the way, speaking of Kim, and this will be the last I utter of the family, the 2022 Met Gala is tonight. And there is a big rumor going around that Kim might be wearing something special. Over the past few weeks, fans have been speculating that the 41-year-old reality star might be wearing the iconic, sparkling, flesh-colored dress that Marilyn Monroe wore when she famously sang Happy Birthday to President John F. Kennedy back in 1962.
Did you hear what Pete's going in?
No.
The skin of John F. Kennedy.
Oh my God. Yeah. They actually
so they're going to complete the whole thing.
Wow. The rumors started at the premiere of The Kardashians in early April when she teased her Met Gala outfit and if she and Pete Davidson would be attending together. She said, "I'm not sure," she had told Access Hollywood.
"I don't care.
You're going to have to wait and find out."
Wait and find out.
"I think we're still figuring it out."
No, maybe not.
And she then admitted that her own attendance at this year's event is still up in the air due to her outfit. She said, "It really depends if I fit into my dress, so I hope I'm going." She said, "I think it will be up to the last minute because it can't be tailored, so I have to fit into it, like, exactly."
So she's Zoftic, as was Marilyn Monroe. I would have to imagine that her ass is bigger because that's one of her things, right? That's her big, one of her big selling points, so to speak. So maybe she can fit into it unaltered. But that's a classic piece of footage, Preston, when basically everyone on Earth realized that President Kennedy and Marilyn had been doing it.
By the way, on Saturday, Kim and Pete were spotted in Orlando, Florida, visiting Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh,
that's where the dress is stored.
Interesting.
Okay. So Kim and Pete reportedly spent over 3 hours at Ripley's. I mean, it was either that or she wanted to see someone who, you know, a potato the size of a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
But anyhow, Ripley's purchased the dress from Julianne's auction back in November of 2016 at a staggering $5 million, making it the most expensive dress in the world. So That's pretty good speculation that she might be wearing that. If they were there for that long and she said that the dress can't be tailored, that sounds like that's going
to
be it.
To be honest, I'll be curious to see what that looks like. That is an iconic dress.
Yep.
You remember that whole, she goes up, Marilyn, when she sings Happy Birthday, she flicks the microphone to see if it's on. And then Kennedy's there like nervously laughing.
It's very funny.
We just met this evening.
All right, here's a follow-up. Bill Murray has offered his first statement on the suspension of production on Being Mortal, which Searchlight Pictures deemed necessary after investigating complaints of inappropriate behavior against the actor. Murray shared his comments during an interview on CNBC. Without going into too much detail about the dynamic between himself and aggrieved parties, Murray explained his perspective on the situation and its aftermath as well. We have a couple of clips from him, so
yes,
let's hit this. Here we go.
I had a difference of opinion with a woman I'm working with. I did something I thought was funny, and it wasn't taken that way. We're both professionals. We like each other's work. We like each other, I think. And if we can't really get along and trust each other, there's no point in going further working together or making a movie as well.
And we still don't know who that was, right?
We don't know the actress, but I guess you can take a guess at the, because there are, you know, a number of the women in the cast. Apparently, it's a cast member that we know. So I don't know which one of the women was.
I haven't looked to even see who it might be.
Apparently, he had done the old TIE fighter with his nutsack.
Is that what it was? That's
really over the line.
Blatant. All right, here's him talking about society, how has society has changed,
right,
and he knows that. Here we go.
You know, the world's different than it was when I was a little kid. You know, what I always thought was funny as a little kid isn't necessarily the same as what's funny now. Things change and the times change, so it's important for me to figure it out. And I think the most important thing is that it's best for the other person. If it's not best for the other person, it doesn't matter what happens for me.
Nick has pulled up the cast, and the only female I see on there is Kiki Palmer, Nick.
Yeah, she's the only one listed. I mean, I'm sure that there are other women in the cast, but right now the only woman listed is Kiki Palmer.
Okay. I think we all know you don't wrong Kiki.
And this is him talking about wanting to change?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I think it's a sad dog that can't learn anymore. I really think that's a really sad puppy that can't learn anymore. I don't want to be that sad dog, and I have no intention of it. What would make me the happiest would be to both of us to go back into work and be able to trust each other and work at the work that we've both spent a lot of time developing.
When he was asked whether he'd been in conversations with Searchlight Pictures about the complaint, he said that he was, and he said, no, not the studio, just with her and the people that are helping her first things first, which is what you should do, probably.
Yeah.
And it's not clear whether he's going to continue work on Being Mortal or not, or if he's being replaced. The film had reportedly completed about half of its principal photography before production was suspended.
I know he likes this project a lot, so I think that's why he's coming forward probably in a way he normally wouldn't have had done before.
Right. Well, this was sad news to see. Fellow country musicians are mourning the death of Grammy Award-winning singer Naomi Judd. I'm sure you saw this over the weekend. Her daughters, Winona and Ashley, confirmed her death on Saturday. She was 76 years old. Judd was the mother portion of the mother-daughter music duo The Judds, Winona being the other half, as they scored 14 number one songs.
Wow. They were huge.
In a career that spanned nearly three decades, rising to the top of the country music charts before calling it quits in 1991 after Naomi was diagnosed with hepatitis. Ashley Judd wrote on Twitter today, we sisters experienced tragedy. We lost our beautiful mother to the disease of mental illness, which I'm curious about and I don't really understand.
So from the first,
what she means by that.
Second that popped up, Preston, I know that over the years she's had, and we have a clip of her talking about it, profound bouts with depression, so much so that, you know, the drugs that she was on would cause physical changes to her body, and then she would lose tremendous amounts of weight, and maybe just the wear and tear of dealing with all that finally did her in, but horrible.
Yeah, she said, we are shattered, we are navigating profound grief, and we know all we know, and we know that we loved her, and she was loved by her public. We are in unknown territory.
We have a couple of clips if you want to hear her talking about, we can go with her first talking about what it was like to experience her depression.
They see me in rhinestones, you know, with glitter in my hair. That really is who I am. But then I would come home and not leave the house for 3 weeks. My hands shake real bad. Medication, nothing I can do about it. And my face, I feel like a balloon. My face is all swollen because of the medication. I want someone to be able to see that they can survive because there's 40 million of us out there.
Has anybody speculated that she may have taken her own life at all?
I haven't seen that.
When I saw she lost her battle with mental health illness, that's immediately what I thought.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how else you lose a battle.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of physical things she was going through. So I haven't seen that speculated.
Yeah.
It's conceivable. You know what? It happens, though, Preston. It begins that anything like this, which makes it so horrible, is that cascade that she's describing. She's depressed. Then she looks in the mirror. And she's bloated because of the medicine. All that stuff just keeps going more and more and more. And so over the course of the years, that's what she was dealing with.
This is Ashley, who was at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
So yeah, she passed away one day before they were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Here we go.
My mama loved you so much, and she appreciated your love for her. And I'm sorry that she couldn't hang on until today. Your esteem for her and your regard for her really penetrated her heart. And it was your affection for her that did keep her going in these last years.
And then Winona had briefly accepted the honor of the Hall of Fame. Here we go.
I didn't prepare anything tonight because I knew Mom would probably talk the most. I'm going to make this fast because my heart's broken. And I feel so blessed, and it's a very strange dynamic to be this broken and this blessed.
Wow. That's some heavy stuff, man.
Yes.
So, obviously, many people took to Twitter to share fond memories of Naomi and to mourn the loss of a country music legend who was preparing to be inducted into that Hall of Fame. So, sad, sad news. All right, I have some other things to get to. All right, this is not happy, but certainly not quite as dour as that story. Dan Aykroyd and Donna Dixon are going their separate ways.
This blew my mind. They've been, 39 years.
Yep, the Emmy Award winner and his
wife.
You
couldn't stick out the torture a little bit more?
Of nearly 40 years, announced their separation Friday exclusively to People, although they continue to be legally married and share a loving friendship. After 39 years as a couple, we are now on separate life paths. We remain legally married, co-parents, co-workers, and business partners. But I don't know. You do mention that, you know, of them hanging on.
Yeah.
I think that's, that's absolutely, if it ain't working, why keep sticking it out?
Yeah, there's a decent percentage of that in jest because obviously they're making their decision based on, you know, it's not working. So they gave it, they certainly gave it more than an admirable run, and they just have gone their separate ways.
Yeah, and they're going to remain married, actually, but they're going to just live separately.
I think the thing that hurts is that she's apparently seeing Pete Davidson.
Oh, my gosh.
On the side?
And she doesn't mind that he's also with Kim.
Yeah, no, she does not.
They met they tied the knot in 1983. They had met that year on the set of the movie Dr. Detroit.
Their union they're known as Dim.
Dim. The pair share daughters, Danielle, who is known professionally as a singer-songwriter, Vera Sola is her name. Belle and Stella are the other two. He had previously opened up about his lasting connection with Dixon in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times. This was back in 2014. He had said, "You got to find the right person. Look them in the eye, have them look back, and know their soul."
I would have to imagine that Aykroyd's great, but he certainly...
Oh, he's not
tuned into a different channel.
Yep. He was previously engaged to Carrie Fisher in the early 1980s.
I didn't know.
Yeah, and then after that, I guess this
she was engaged to Darth Vader.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would have rocked the universe,
it would have been great.
That's her father.
I really love her, and she's just awesome. I'm so nervous.
You're going to hyperventilate, man.
No, it's okay. I just have my dials up.
Had no idea. All right, this is a weird little story. Michael Douglas has some thick skin, so thick that Deborah Winger didn't end up cutting her teeth opposite the Basic Instinct star in Romancing the Stone. He was on Rob Lowe's Literally podcast.
Yeah.
And he said that three-time Oscar nominee Winger bit his arm during a pre-shoot dinner with Robert Zemeckis. He said after knocking back tequilas over friendly conversation, Winger allegedly broke the skin on his arm with her teeth. He said, we walk out, and just as you would go kind of, oh, you, and lightly give somebody a punch on the arm, she goes, oh, you, and she reached over and bit my arm.
Wow.
And I was like, ah, dude, she bit me. And Douglas continued saying, she's joking, and I'm looking at her, and I go, I don't know. I'm thinking this could be rough, and she broke the skin. He was, like, literally bleeding.
Yeah.
That
would make you reconsider.
Led to Douglas telling director Zemeckis that he could not work with a loose cannon like her.
Ever killed.
He said, I broke down in tears. I can't go into the jungle with her. She bit me. Look, she bit my arm. Instead, Kathleen Turner replaced Winger in the role and went on to win Best Actress Golden Globe for the adventure rom-com.
Deborah Winger was a really solid actress in terms of endearment. She's great. She always had that reputation, though, as being a little...
Yeah, a little loony, right?
A little loony, yeah.
Like she would,
bite people.
Strange things and bite people.
Yeah.
So, wow. All right, and then let me see. Do I have time for one more? I got a bunch of things, but we'll have to save some
for it.
Tomorrow. Let's go with this one. Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos celebrated their 26th wedding anniversary on Sunday.
She's a wonderful gal.
Ripa posted a photo of the pair to Instagram and wrote, 26 years with the love of my life.
Be a dear and top off my chamomile, would you?
And Consuelos shared his own post to Instagram that featured two penguins holding flippers. Saying happy anniversary, 26 years, penguin status.
They're both impossibly good looking. So yes. I imagine when they have sex, it's like when you grind down metal, and you know, the sparks.
Right.
I mean, because they're both in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
And they must wear welding masks.
Maybe so. All right. And then we're ready for clips now. Benedict Cumberbatch co-stars with Elizabeth Olsen in the new Marvel film Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. In this clip, he explains his thoughts on working with her.
She's just, she's a breath of fresh air. She's a real light and a force of nature. She kind of steps on set and everybody's in a better mood. She doesn't take it or herself at all seriously. And yet when she's doing it, she's mesmerizing to watch as Wanda. She's
this is special.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness can be seen in theaters Friday.
Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I think we might have some more screening passes coming up because we have that screening on Wednesday. Here's the next clip. Sophie Turner has played many intriguing roles, including her role as Margaret Radcliffe in the true crime series The Staircase. In this clip, she explains why she was so interested in playing this role.
Just the way that the family kind of interacts with each other without this this man that they've all kind of put on a pedestal is incredibly interesting. The dynamics completely shift, and it's such an interesting study.
Translation, boring.
The Staircase can be streamed on HBO Max Thursday if you are so interested. And there you go. That's the entertainment.
You know, I did last night. I went through all the 44,000 streaming services that I had and I have. And I put things on my basic wish list or like list because every time I go to them, I'm like, what am I watching on this one again?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I realize just how pathetic, you know, how much time you spend in front of the TV. There's a lot of good stuff
to be consumed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Our entertainment report is done. How about we give away some of those Doctor Strange movie screening passes for Wednesday? I'll take the first three callers, 215-263-WMMR. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Doesn't even open till May 6th on Friday, and tickets are on sale now, but we will give them to you for free to join us on Wednesday night. Pretty sweet deal. All right, we're going to take a break. Don't forget, we have Kathy's Cuts taking place. Kathy is on location. She's a Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. We'll see how things are going. It's benefiting Wigs for Kids. We're also going to have on the show this morning our buddy Mark Summers. Always checking in when he's in town. He's going to be here in our studio today.
Yes. So
pretty cool. Always great with an in-studio visit from Mark Summers. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you hang with us.
93.3 WMMR.
The
MMRBQ is almost here, featuring Disturbed, The Pretty Reckless, Living Color, and maybe you.
Oh, that's right. This year, we debut the Preston and Steve Side Stage. Live band karaoke with Sidearm. Plus, our friends Froggy are going to be playing live. And it's the return of the Jackie Bam Bam Party Deck.
Want to sing on the Preston and Steve Stage? Get audition songs and details at WMMR.com. Then submit your video on social media using hashtag MMRBQ. Also, we're excited to announce our limited-time 420 ticket offer. Four lawn tickets at $20 each. MMRBQ 2022, May 21st at Waterfront Music Pavilion.
Presented by NJM Insurance Group. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. And sponsored by Pro Team Collision.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks your summer.
Typical kitchen and bath dealers can make you...
Give me a head with hair.
Yes.
Long, beautiful hair.
The event is back. Kathy's Cuts benefiting Wigs for Kids is happening as we speak, and therefore the noise you hear in the background is Kathy at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. Sounds like things are getting pretty busy, Kath.
Yes, they are, and I'm here actually with one of our listeners. She's been listening for, wait, how long did you say?
17 years.
Oh, my
17
God.
Years. And what's your name?
Angela.
Where are you from, Angela?
Wilmington, Delaware.
And what... How did you decide to come out here today? Like, what was the reason? Did you? Is there anything behind it?
Well, I feel like, you know, it's hair. It grows. So why not give it to kids who need hair? Like, it's going to grow, simply. So might as well do something useful with it.
You know, and that was how this all started. I actually was going to cut my hair, and I thought, instead of just let it fall to the floor and go to waste, like, there has to be something we can do with it. And that's how we found Wigs for Kids, and that's why we're doing it. Well, thank you so much for coming out. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy.
And by the way, she is so cute, and she's a 19-year-old son. I was like, you do not look like you have a
19-year-old. No,
we're looking at her.
We're looking at
her. She looks like she's 19
right.
herself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so everybody's, and again, I'm amazed, but everyone's hair is so long, and it's great. So we're getting a lot of great ponytails and that we can send off to Wigs for Kids. Everybody enjoying their Dunkin' Donuts. Actually, let me just say thank you to Dunkin'. Get ready for sunnier days with a medium sunrise batch iced coffee for $2 from Dunkin', a bright and balanced coffee made from a blend of beans sourced from Kenya and Latin America. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. And, of course, all of us here at the Preston and Steve Show, we run on Dunkin' as well. Yeah, so we're at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. Also, David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. We have appointments there. Their entire salon is filled as well. I was talking to a few people over there, and they're also having a great time. So everything, you know, we're doing well. Everybody's getting their hair chopped.
It's cool. You know, it's like you sit down for a long time and stand up after sitting for a while and getting back up on your feet with this. And everyone is so excited about it because, as you say, we had the stasis where people were kind of just letting their hair grow and we're kind of waiting for this event to happen. To have it happen this way today is so cool. It's great to see people out doing this.
Yeah, a bunch of people. Guy upstairs, this is his third time doing it. He said he waited from the last time he cut his hair until now.
Wow.
So his hair was really long as well. And then I talked to a woman who donated for the first time. It was the first time here. She had a 9-week-old baby at home. She said, I've been up for hours. I ran out of the house, come get my hair cut, and now she's going back home to the baby.
Cool.
Nice. All right, we'll check back in with you in a bit. Kathy, who is at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. It is Kathy's Cuts, and it continues. Finally, back to it, which is awesome. So
wonderful cause.
All right, so Marissa did some digging this weekend, and she sent me a series of stories that all have to do with the Jersey Shore. So I think we have invented a new segment.
A new character, yeah.
Yes. It is called The Beach Bomb. So here we go.
Yeah.
We have a series of stories that take place down the shore and actually stumble across some really good stuff.
So they're good ones, right?
Yeah, yeah, there's some solid things. So we'll start with this. We'll start with food. And, oh, yeah, Steve, let me bring your levels up. There you go. Let's start. There you go. Our first story is Bobby Flay headed back to the Jersey Shore with an outpost of his fast casual brand, Bobby's Burgers.
Yeah.
Which is set to debut at Harrah's Resort Atlantic City early this summer.
It's good news for you, Case, because you love his burgers.
I do. I do. And while I don't know why I don't consider Atlantic City the Jersey Shore, I'm just glad that I don't have to, like, fly across the country to go get it, right?
Right.
So, and I actually kind of head down that way regardless, because there's a pizza place that I go to quite a bit, and that's just kind of outside of Atlantic City as well. So
I kind of know why. I mean, it's its own entity, really, yeah. Atlantic City. It's not a shore town. Every other place you visit down there, there's a town that's a part of it, and Atlantic City really is its own little city. It's its own entity, despite the boardwalk. Like, you don't really go there just to be at a beach town. You go there mostly for gambling and hanging out.
But if you are at a beach town, you want to do something else besides go to the beach? You can go to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
It's right there. So the concept serves American cuisine, like burgers, fries, milkshakes. Menu options include the Bobby Blue and Bacon Burger, topped with blue cheese sauce and bacon. And this will be, you also have the Crunch Burger.
Yes.
Step with cheese and potato chips.
Oh, yeah. That's my jam right there.
And Bobby's Veggie Burger, complete with barbecue mushrooms, chickpeas, quinoa, lettuce, and tomato.
Oh, yeah.
Other highlights include buttermilk onion rings, sweet potato fries, and milkshakes in flavors like vanilla bean, dark chocolate, strawberry, and my favorite, pistachio.
I mean, that is a wonderful menu of decadence.
Hell
but
yes.
When you're in the when you're in the mood for a burger and fries and a shake, do it right.
Yep.
Right?
I agree 100%.
And when is it opening? Do you have a...
It says early this summer.
Okay.
So this is after Bobby Flay's Steak had closed at the Borgata.
You better get over there now. Cause
I know.
It'll run for 15 years. So. All right. So that is story number one. Let's move on to another one.
We're back.
All right. Next, for the beach bum. The Camden County Board of Commissions unveiled a, and you'll like this, Casey, a $100 million plan to revitalize 24 parks and create a link trail that will open a path running from the Benjamin Franklin Bridge to Cape May Point.
What?
So you coming years.
There be like a contiguous...
A bike trail.
Wow.
A bike
wow.
or walking trail from the Ben Franklin Bridge to Cape
That's
May
awesome.
Point.
Is this amazing. Also a skipping trail?
You can skip okay. if you want. There's you a know, lane. Okay. There's a special
skippers.
Lane.
It's skippers only.
On the trail.
Wow. I don't like...
You don't know what to
I,
say.
I well, no, I don't, because you know, is it going to be one of those things where you know you're going over streets, or do you're going to have to stop?
I assume at some point you're going to have a and that's fine.
Yeah, you know, because there's a trail that goes from Cape May all the way up to, and I've only stopped at the Cape May Zoo, which is just outside of Stone Harbor, and I think it picks up after the Cape May Zoo at a certain point, and it is a great trail, but sometimes you get to these intersections where you know cars are coming and stuff like.
I think it'd be hard to do that. In a perfect scenario, you'd be able to avoid that. But I think this is fine.
No, it is. And,
as long as the cars stop and don't collide into you.
I'm being a little bit...
Snooty,
because when I'm going for a bike ride and you don't want to... Right. Slow down and stop. Like, you're, you know, I'm going
like the skipper's
I don't think this is for endurance. I think this is, you want to get from A to B.
Yeah.
You can do it on a bicycle.
And my cousin does this quite a bit. He will ride from the Ben Franklin Bridge down to Wildwood. And, dude, he rides on 55, which is crazy. Like, you're
You
not,
can't ride 55.
You can't, no.
Sammy Hagar would disagree, yes. sir.
That kind of scares me when people try to pull that off. I mean, like, you know, it's dangerous at that point. But I guess a lot of the ones in Pennsylvania are converted rail lines, right? So they have, and there are so many old, unused rail lines in Jersey. I wonder if they're using those for this.
That's actually, yes, that would make sense.
Well,
and if they aren't, they should.
The Parks Alive 2025 plan has been in the works for several years, bringing together nonprofits and local governments to invest in infrastructure, trails, waterways, and recreation in the county's park system. A key facet of the plan will be a $10 million link trail. That's right, $10
million. $34-mile
active transportation corridor that will be developed in four phases. The off-road 12-foot-wide trail will be open to pedestrians, bicycles, and other personal mobility vehicles.
Very cool. Now, the one thing they always ignore are the piggybackers.
The link trail will begin at the Ben Franklin Bridge bicycle pedestrian ramp in Camden, which will be reached from Philly by foot or on bike, and run through 16 municipalities in Camden County before connecting with the Atlantic County Trail. That trail runs all the way to Cape May Point.
So, okay. I mean, you know, we're getting into that time where people are even just on the weekends are visiting down there, you know, and it'll become more and more, you know, of a prolonged thing. So having something like this, even if it's just sort of suggested, adds a charm to it. You know?
No, and it absolutely
it gives you a goal.
I have been, so I haven't been on my bike as much since October, but last year I was on it a lot, and I got my endurance was up, and I was just sort of thinking this summer I may want to ride my bike down the shore after work on Fridays.
Well, this would be a cool thing if your family is going to head down to the shore.
Yeah.
They drop you off at the head of the trail and drive, and you just ride your bike all the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they leave the country.
Yeah. And so I don't know where it leads.
I have the children. I'm in Kuwait.
I don't know where it leads from the other side of the Ben Franklin Bridge, but, you know, you can ride over the Ben Franklin Bridge. Say there's a walking / bike path there as well. So. Yep.
A few miles of the Link Trail already have been constructed, but the full project and parks improvements are expected to be completed by 2025.
Huh.
Not too far off.
No, that's actually... and obviously different chunks will be completed as you go.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the Schuylkill River Trail is awesome. I mean, you can go from Center City all the way through the Valley Forge Park, and then there's other trails that kind of split off from there as well.
I used to walk that all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember having an issue. I remember with people being like mugged on one of the...
you got to be careful.
But what they did was great, and a lot of people use it.
Yeah, I love these alternate ways to get to the shore. I took the train a few weeks ago to meet my friends down there, and it was fabulous.
Did you go to AC?
They're in Ventnor, so they picked me up in AC, but as soon as you get off the train station, there's jitneys waiting there to pick you up and take you to the casinos or whatever, but it was 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I
do that every year.
It was a little longer, but it was great.
Can you go any further south than Atlantic City?
No.
That's a shame.
It stops right there at the top. But, you know, you can get an Uber. Like I said, the jitneys are there, and we were just talking the other day about the jitney service being extended.
Yeah, there used to be a train service further south, too. There is a train station in Cape May with no rails going into Cape May.
And that's where the bike trail is. The bike trail goes right past.
Forgive me for being, if I forgot that this was news, but what's the status of the AC airport? Is that...
Oh, I don't know.
Bader Field?
Yeah.
They are looking to turn it into something. They haven't announced what it is yet. I think there's going to be like...
Bobby Flay's?
Big old Bobby Flay's.
It was closed?
There's an airport, and then there's Bader Field.
Okay.
Bader Field is a baseball... Right?
No, I think it was an old airstrip.
Airport / baseball field.
That is now, like, they use as concert grounds and stuff. Metallica was there for a little while.
Okay, yeah, we're looking at that now.
Do they still do that? Are there concerts there?
I don't know.
I saw Less Than Jake there last summer.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that alone is worth keeping it open so that Less Than Jake has a return.
Yeah. I believe it was the Atlantic City Surf was their single-A ball club, and once managed by Mitch Wild Thing Williams.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
The legend.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that old, by the way, Nick, the old railroad by Cape May, you can rent those...
push cars?
Yeah, well, it's not a... I think you pedal
them.
Oh, really?
It looks like 10 minutes later, you'd go, why did we do that?
There's nothing to look at. You're in, like, this gross-ass marshy... Oh, well, it'd be great if there was, like...
What are you pedaling? What is... It's an actual...
It's like a hand cart, but you just use your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
It was fun for about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I'll watch other people do it.
So the thing you have to remember is
cool.
Where they build railroad tracks.
And not
they
the best parts.
Don't build them in the scenic areas, usually. So
they should allow you to do this on active rail lines.
Be great.
Yeah.
If you got to keep up or, you know. You hear the horn coming up behind you. Got to put it into high gear, but yeah, I don't think I would. all right, let me see here. So we have other stories from the Beach Bum.
We're back.
All Jersey Shore stories. All right, we have a follow up. The Bachelorette, Rachel Recchia, went on her hometown date with contestant Tyler Norris of Rio Grande, Cape May County.
Yeah.
And
Where'd they go?
We have a little update on some of that. Fans of the show were treated to a big spoiler for season 19, which airs in July, with co-bachelorette Recchia's visit to Wildwood. I'm assuming you pronounce her name Recchia. I haven't been watching.
Almost killed you.
Wildwood visitors were surprised to find that the boardwalk was up and running before the season had opened.
We'd conjectured as to whether or not they would open it up.
Ben Rose, marketing and public relations director for the Greater Wildwoods Tourism Authority, said, "We had owners come in and open up their stores.
Knew it.
And we had to open up some amusement rides and some games and make it look like it was in season and that we were open.
I assume they went on the Ferris wheel and he bought a t-shirt that said, I'm not gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Yeah, that's a popular one you see outside of the t-shirt shops. I know.
It's disgusting. The t-shirts that just hang there in the front of the stores. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
I agree.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I bought some of that stuff. The one I was about to say, I realized I can't say on the radio.
Okay, so we will.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts logo turned into something else.
Oh, effing donuts.
Yeah.
All right, so Ben said they filmed all segments of his hometown and the things that he loves to do.
I love this.
They had a fun day. And
I love ocean.
It was a fun day on the boardwalk, and then afterwards, she went and met his parents.
These are my mommy and daddy.
Rose said that the couple enjoyed funnel cakes.
Funnel cake.
And curly fries.
Curly fries.
They had those at Morty's.
Chocolate. Chocolate. I like chocolate.
They had the funnel cakes and curly fries at Morty's Piers. And they played squirt gun games.
Good.
And they rode the carousel.
I love you.
And bumper cars.
Bumper. Daffy!
The Wildwoods beach cam captured Rekia running up to Norris and embracing him in front of the Wildwoods sign on the boardwalk. And so apparently there's a live camera and you can see the Wildwood boardwalk sign at all times. The only issue during their visit was the weather. Ben Rose said that it was chilly on Monday. With Rekia in a trench coat, so he worries that the shots won't be realistic for a July air date.
Realistic. I love the application of that to the Basher. We want to make it realistic.
Do you remember we were talking about it that day?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It was overcast. It wasn't a good-looking beach day at all.
So it is, and this is now the new version where there's a Bachelor and... So what is the change? In this version, they're going to change it a little bit. There are two...
There's two bachelors?
There's two bachelorettes.
I think there's two bachelorettes.
Oh, two bachelorettes.
Right. Yep. And a whole ton of bachelors. So he reported that the couple shared a kiss after the funnel cakes.
What?
Yep.
Wow. But wonders whether... could taste funnel cake.
Whether Norris will be the one to claim Rekia's heart or not. He said, I did notice after they got the funnel cake, she kissed him. Oh. She turned around and kissed him. And he said...
You make my pee-pee place feel funny.
He said, I don't know who she is going to pick, but she was pretty. What's the word? Amorous, he said.
Aww.
She gave the kiss.
He's describing ice cream.
Yeah.
She gave the kiss right on the lips, apparently.
And then he bummed the Newport off a guy in jorts. Yeah.
You can't smoke on the boardwalk. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out because the episode isn't going to air until July, but they were in Wildwood.
Yeah, it's funny because it's clearly over. We're watching some of the video. It's overcast, and it's all, we'll see how they dress it up.
It was cold that day.
Yeah.
It was definitely
cold. Let's go in the water.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait until the episode airs. All right, next story for the Beach Bum. Let's get to it.
We're back.
The engine of an aircraft that dates back to World War II was found underwater off the coast of New Jersey earlier this month while a former National Guardsman was out fishing for squid.
Engine.
The discovery was made by fisherman Randy Camp and his captain Jake Wiscott, and they were out fishing and felt something unusually heavy in their net. When they got the machine out of the ocean, Camp knew pretty quickly that he had come across a cool artifact. And the Naval Air Station Wildwood Aviation Museum, William LaSalle, who is the curator, identified the engine as a Pratt & Whitney 18-cylinder R2-800. And the engine could
have been... That's a protocol droid.
Could have been used in different military and commercial aircraft, including the Northrop P-61 Black Widow fighter or the Douglas DC-6, which was used as for a range of cargo, military, and wildfire control purposes.
We're looking at it. It is pretty cool. You can tell what it is.
LaSalle added that the engine could have been from a Grumman F-6F Hellcat, a carrier-based fighter aircraft that was used to counter Japan's Mitsubishi A6M-0 during the second half of the war in the Pacific. And the museum has an F-6F Hellcat on display there. So likely it had been in the Atlantic Ocean for more than 70 years off of Cape May.
That is cool. You know, it amazes me that people go dive, that, you know, with the...
Not a lot of visibility.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like diving in Tahiti where you're seeing these World War II aircraft, you know?
I looked into it a couple of years ago, last time that we went diving in Hawaii, and I was like, man, it was so much fun. I would love to do it around here. There's only a handful of them, dive companies that will dive off the Jersey Shore because of the visibility issue. Yeah. You go up further north, and there's a couple of spots that are better, closer to New York. But they will do it.
There's a company called Can't See Crap out of Newark.
What is it?
Can't See Crap.
Can't See Crap.
Every now and then we get that, you know, that blue water. It's sort of an aberration when it comes into the Jersey Shore, and it actually kind of looks almost Caribbean for, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then it goes back to normal brown.
Yep. LaSalle added that the engine could have been from that Grumman F6F Hellcat. And, by the way, Cape May was an important stronghold for the U.S. Navy during World War II when it maintained administrative headquarters inside the former Cape May Hotel. And the area was feared to be a target for German submarines and required a strong military presence that effectively replaced the tourism industry until the Navy's withdrawal in 1946.
My father-in-law worked for Grumman on Long Island for the longest time and was involved. I remember I'd pass by the whole facility all the time, and they were responsible for doing a lot for the Apollo.
They were in charge of the LEM.
Yeah, yeah.
The lunar module. Right. Yeah, exactly. So the aircraft engine reportedly will need to be cleaned and aired out, but they plan to display it at the museum.
Did you see it was signed by Randy Jackson, Preston?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, it's probably all that he had to get signed.
I'd do the same thing.
Randy Jackson's autograph, right?
You have to.
All right, let's see. Other things at the Jersey Shore to share. This is the beach bum. All right, so there's a Jersey Shore shop that focuses on coffee and ice cream, but it's their donuts that earned national acclaim. Drip and Scoop.
Whoa. Drip and Scoop.
A New Jersey coffee shop.
Sounds like syphilis.
Also serves ice cream. Was just named one of the 25 best donut shops in the United States by FeastAndField.net.
All right, what town? What town?
There's a few of them. Okay, so Feast and Field wrote, dubbed as a hotspot for donut lovers, Ocean City houses this local gem. Drip and Scoop not only specializes in donuts, but scoops ice cream year-round.
Wow.
Or you can dive into an iced coffee served with a donut on your straw. So they have locations in Atlantic City, Summers Point, and two in Ocean City. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, and these tend to migrate. Closer
towards us?
No. Up and down the Jersey Shore. I mean, so there's a Duck Donuts in Avalon, and I think there might be some around here. But the Fractured Prune was the first that I had heard of around the Jersey Shore area. And it's same thing. It's just it's a boutique donut shop.
Oh.
So that was in Ocean City, and then they opened another one, and then there's Naughty Donuts.
Naughty.
But naughty as in, like, nautical.
Oh.
But we're in like, Wildwood, I think, man, there isn't... there.
Huh?
You were having this conversation with Nick Elmy about Curiosity Donuts when he did a pop-up of that. You were begging him to open up a
Wildwood. Wildwood needs a boutique donut shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about you and Preston? You're down there.
It's funny. I have had 1,000 different...
effing nuts, you can call it.
No, mine was Holy Donuts.
Holy Donuts.
And that whole H-O-L-E...
You got to go to that A-frame house that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my idea was to have a Holy Donuts... and then to offer donut delivery services.
How far out? 100 miles?
No. Just if it was in Wildwood, just to the Wildwoods.
All right.
And you could only have your donuts delivered if you ordered the night before.
And what kind of investment are you asking from Preston?
I'm just $1 million, for 1% stake.
And yes, we should crowd
Shark Tank.
1% stake.
Sharks. Donuts at the shore.
I'm out.
I feel like it's usually $200,000 for 20%.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'd rather do $1 million for 1%. It's just like, you know,
it's a dream. Since you were a kid, it's been a dream of yours.
It's ever since I was a kid, like 5 years ago.
I wanted to have a donut place on the Jersey Shore. Listen, if you, so it seems like, and I'm not out there a lot, but it seems like if you can. You get one of these things to strike. Now, would something like this be only successful in season.
Yeah, and that's
a lot of these places just stop, right?
And that's why I wouldn't want to do an investment down the shore, is because you are really, really dependent.
Would you consider reducing that million investment?
Yes. Memorial Day to Labor Day is where you really need to make your money. And right. if you don't, like, you're screwed.
And you're weather dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can put umbrellas over the donuts.
Right.
By the way, with a name like Holy Donuts, would you have any religious-based donut attractions?
Yes, my...
I would think.
The golf cart.
The crucifixion crawler?
The golf cart would have a halo over it, but the halo would be a donut.
Right? I like that. Yeah.
Right?
I like
Jesus
that.
Christ, that's a great donut.
Yeah.
That's right? The quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christ, that's a great donut. The full-service coffee and dairy bar, by the way, we're going back to this one, Drip and Scoop. Which NewJersey.com's Pete Genovese has previously named one of the best donut shops in New Jersey, does standard donut flavors like old-fashioned, cinnamon, sugar, and chocolate, but...
Looks good.
Drip and Scoop also has specialty flavors like cotton candy, s'mores, chocolate peanut butter, and vanilla coconut. So that's kind of your...
Gets me hungry.
Boutique this donuts.
This is a lot like the Fart and Squirt.
The Fart and Squirt?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's another place. It's a chocolate place.
Oh, it's a lot like Drip and Scoop. Fart and Squirt. the vanilla coconut sounds like a good one. Right, Nick?
No. I don't mind coconut in my coffee, like coconut flavoring. It's the coconut
actual pieces.
Texture. Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm out.
Okay.
I guess I could stomach one of these.
Premium flavors include peanut butter cup and maple bacon.
Oh, man.
The shop's website even takes flavor requests. Oh. Yeah, they said if you want to suggest flavors, they can...
And ask them to take away flavors.
They can maybe... I don't know about
Stop
that.
Making that.
Yeah.
So my other venture, Steve, that I wanted to do is I wanted to... And so there's a new hotel that's being built in Diamond Beach called Mahalo.
Yeah.
And they're doing exactly what I wanted to do, which is offer for its hotel residents... jitney service to and from the boardwalk, which I thought would be a great, and then also offer like bike rentals for people as well. Like, I don't know exactly to
why
what
are you giving away these multi-million-dollar ideas?
Because I'm just an idea guy. I'm an idea guy with no action.
Right.
You should charge for those ideas, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Say,
listen, pay me, and I'll give you some great ideas. You just don't tell them what the ideas are ahead of time. They just have to trust you.
Set
and
up
pay
that
A-frame,
first. Preston.
Yeah.
Right on by the maybe somewhere on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sign out front ideas.
Yeah. Ideas.
So that A-frame,
people walk in, and you know, you just have.
It's like Lucy from the Peanuts with the stand she sets up. Yes. Free advice.
5 cents.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. The A is backwards, but
great
it doesn't
ideas.
Really matter.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But my idea for that A-frame house that sold in Wildwood was to turn that into a pizza place because it looks like a slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That was his idea. Another one right there.
So
I like the idea for the idea.
I guess
guy.
This is give it away for free day.
Yeah.
Because you're losing millions of dollars.
My idea for opening up a Soarin' ride in Philadelphia, by the way, they have one in New York that just opened up.
Ooh.
And we're talking about from Lord of the Rings?
No.
Lord Soarin'?
Like the movies.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, that's.
As you fly above the Hobbit houses. Smell of peat enters your nostrils. Not Pete Moss, Pete. He works in the town. It's horrible body odor.
He doesn't shower much, no. All right, anyhow, that's it. We got to wrap up this segment of the Beach Bum, but I like this, Marissa.
Yeah.
So very cool segment to roll out for the first time. All things Jersey Shore. And hopefully you got something out of it. Listen, we do need to take a break because we need to stay on time for a few things. We have, of course, MMR's Concert Cash coming up. But Kathy Romano is out of the studio today. It is Kathy's Cuts event that is taking place.
It's a big day.
She is at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. The other location where cuts are taking place is David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. We thank everybody involved for this. But we will find out how things are going in a little bit. We'll come back with the Bizarre File as well. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kings of Leon on 93.3 WNMR. Evan in Rock, 7:58, President Steve Show. That means we are 2 minutes away from your first chance to win $500 and the barbecue tickets as well with concert cash. So fair warning, that's coming along shortly. We'll do it again today, several times. In fact, we do it at now, 8 and 10, 2, or 10, noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 again. So don't miss any of those chances. Mark Summers stopping by later on this morning. In the meantime, Kathy Romano, who is on location for Kathy's Cuts today, Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting, has a look at traffic. What's going on, Kath?
The accident on the Schuylkill cleared. You're still jammed 202 into the Blue Rope, with the accident now gone. Also eastbound, going from Montgomery into the Vine, westbound Vera Avenue to the Vine, and then from City out to Belmont, then again near the Blue Route. 95 southbound slows Academy to Cotman, the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard, the Vine westbound backing up 8th to Broad. Eastbound, the Schuylkill to Broad. And then in New Jersey, we had that accident, 295 northbound. Now you're still stopped, still crawling along between 561 and Route 73, but good news, the accident now cleared. 55 northbound, jams north of Deptford to the 42 freeway, and then on 42 north, you're slow from Coles Road to 295. This traffic report brought to you by Acme. Shop Acme and earn 4-time reward points on gas and groceries with your Acme for You app. See store for details. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Kathy. We are approaching 8, so that means it is time to do this.
MMR's Concert Cash.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
The word is conquest, spelled C-O-N-Q-U-E-S-T. We're going to give you until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. Three ways for you to do it. You can text it, the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry will win $500 in our company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive 2 free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners get the call from Beasley, so make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by AAA Distributor. So keep that in mind. We'll give you until 15 minutes after the hour to get us the word conquest. C-O-N-Q-U-E-S-T. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
I didn't mean to do the Bizarre File.
What happened? What happened?
I meant to do this.
Almost cut my hair.
That's what I meant to do. So I told Kathy we would go to her, and I never, ever lie.
Oh, she's going
to
hate you now.
Schmuggums. So we got to make sure that we do that first. So Kathy, Gravity Hair Salon, how are things going?
It's going great. And me and the listener that I'm standing next to, both of us, our hands went up and head went back when you did the Bizarre File. I'm like, they're not coming to us? What's your name?
Craig Powell.
And is this your first time donating your hair?
Third time donating, first time as a part of Kathy's Cuts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for coming out. You also come to the Camp Out for Hunger and the blood drive every year.
Yep. I'll see you at the blood drive in June.
And so what made you cut your hair today?
So I'd had a friend in school that had childhood cancer, and it's something that my last two donations have been in his memory, because he unfortunately had cancer again and suddenly passed a few years back. So I'm donating in my friend Andrew Vellante's memory.
Well, thank you so much for coming out. And how much hair were you able to cut off?
I was able to get 14 inches. Wow. I was not sure when coming in that I was going to have that much to offer, but Joe did a good job, and I've got a great style coming out, a lot more than I was expecting when I came in. I was expecting just to tell him, just go ahead and buzz it off and get as much as you can. Go right to the scalp. But no, he gave me a real nice style. I'm happy with this.
Well, you look great. Thank you so much. I'm glad we're here in honor of your friend and some other people who, you know, who need wigs, and that's what Wigs for Kids does, hey, and they do it at no cost to the children and their families.
Kathy, will there be before and after photos? Because I want to see what his hair looked like before him. We're looking at video of it right now, and it's good-looking haircut, but I have to see that. I got to see that big mane that he had before he had it taken off.
I'll have to email in a photo. I didn't take a photo before.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, I think we are getting before and after photos. We have tons of photos. And just one more person I want to talk to. What's your name?
Karen.
And Karen just cut off how many inches?
I think like 17.
Whoa, 17, my goodness.
17 wow. inches of hair. Yeah. And are you okay with this short hairdo?
Oh, yeah. It'll be back by the end of summer.
So the last time she cut her hair was our last Kathy's Cuts, which was in 2000. What was it?
Yeah. 2019?
She knows. I don't. Yes, 2019. And she had 17 inches to donate. So, yeah, we're doing great out here. Actually, they're doing great out here, all the people coming in with this long hair.
To be honest, Kathy, when you first mentioned that they were modifying the length of hair that they were looking for, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's going to be problematic. Yeah. But then there are a lot of people that just been sort of waiting for this very day to occur so they could be a part of it. And, you know, inspiring stories. And when you talk about what this hair is going for, because one person had tweeted out and they were quite curious what the exact purpose of it is. Just explain again what this hair is used for.
Yeah, so the reason it has to be a certain length and it can't be bleached and it can't have too much gray in it is because they actually use the hair to make the wig. So some of the other organizations will take shorter hair, but they're offsetting the cost and they're doing something else with the hair. So Wigs for Kids actually takes the 14 inches of hair that you donate and they will put it into a wig. And I believe, I have to look again, but I believe it's like 5 or 6 ponytails makes one wig. So they need a lot of hair. So this long, healthy, clean hair that comes in, they're able to make these wigs for the kids, and the kids get the wigs at no cost to their families.
Excellent. Okay, and we'll talk to Jeffrey Paul, who is the founder of Wigs for Kids, a little bit later on the program. All right, Kath, we'll check in with you a little bit later on. It is
Cut My Hair.
Kathy's Cuts that is taking place. It's very much look forward to, and I love the people that essentially save up their hair.
How wonderful.
They grow it and wait.
Do you want me to rewind to the to the Bizarre File?
Yes, please, rewind.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that's manufactured on site. Delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. You can visit mulchthis.com. All right, boy, we're going to start with a doozy.
All right, let her rip.
Horrible story. The well-respected parents of a woman who suffered from what is called locked-in syndrome and was found dead, fused to a living room couch, covered in insects and her own bodily fluids, are facing second-degree murder charges. Sheila and Clay Fletcher will face a grand jury after their 36-year-old daughter, Lacey Ellen, was found partially naked, sitting upright, and submerged in a hole in a couch covered from head to toe in urine, liquid feces, and insect bites, with live bugs and rodent excrement nearby at their otherwise tidy home in Slaughter, Louisiana.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, my God. So, coroner Dr. Ewell Dewitt Bickham said the scene was sickening. I've seen some horrible things in my life, but nothing like this. He added that she had bed sores that went all the way down to her bone. This is just horrible.
Just absolutely unbelievably reprehensible.
So Lacey suffered from what's called locked-in syndrome, a rare neurological disorder characterized by complete paralysis of voluntary muscles except those that control the eyes.
God.
So this person is just trapped in their own body.
A vegetative state, and they're letting it happen.
I don't know if vegetative or not. I don't know if they have the cognitive abilities or not. They just can't move anything.
If you're in this state, I'd prefer that you were not aware of it.
Yeah, I agree, Steve, because that would be the ultimate torture. Police arrived on at the ranch-style home in the suburb north of Baton Rouge on January 3rd to find the ghastly scene after the parents called 911 because Lacey wasn't breathing. The parents were supposed to be the girl's care providers, but Bickham said that she had not been to a physician in 20 years. When he arrived at the home, he described the stench being so bad that it would almost run you out of the house. He knew that it was a potential crime scene and immediately called his detective. The parents were in the kitchen. They did not have an explanation. He ruled her death a homicide because of death as a medical negligent case. Sheila Fletcher has worked with police and a court clerk as a court clerk and more recently as an assistant to the city's prosecutor. Clay Fletcher is an officer of the nonprofit Baton Rouge Civil War Roundtable, which has a mission to educate and foster an appreciation for the sacrifices made by all during the Civil War. So they work for these respected organizations.
They're conducting their lives while she's rotting on the couch.
Today, Bickham will present the case to a grand jury in the hopes of charging the parents in the death of their daughter. Negligent homicide is 0 to 5 years. Manslaughter is 0 to 40 years. And second degree is life in prison. She said, I will ask for second degree because they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
They robbed her of her life.
Just horrible, horrible, horrible story.
Horrible.
All right. Emergency crews responded to an area crash of Midtown Atlanta Saturday evening after a traffic crash involving at least 15 people. Atlanta police said that a pedal pub, which is a vehicle where several passengers pedal on a large-scale bike,
I love those things,
often consuming alcohol, is the root of the cause. The road was blocked off from traffic. Dude, this was bad, okay?
Yes.
So the vehicle can carry up to 15 passengers, had multiple people on board. As the peddlers were negotiating a turn, it toppled over. 15 people all went to the hospital. 5 of them were badly hurt, 2 of them in critical condition.
Whoa. The one thing I'm trying to figure out is with the way I've seen those things laid out, how it would tip over.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a little top heavy.
Yeah.
Whatever, but they I guess they took a sharp turn or something like that. It toppled over, and they were hurt really bad. Police said the mobile pub was the only vehicle involved in the incident, and they are obviously investigating that.
I had I was on one of those pedal colonoscopy machines.
Oh,
where, you know, you travel around, and that was dangerous, but this is crazy.
A Florida woman suspected of drunk driving performed multiple ballet and Irish folk dance moves while undergoing field sobriety tests after rear-ending a vehicle late Wednesday evening.
You boys a fan of Riverdance?
Amy Ann Harrington was arrested on a DUI charge following a crash near her residence.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Police allege that Harrington showed multiple signs of impairment during roadside sobriety tests.
And now my tribute to centuries.
Harrington smelled of alcohol, had slurred speech, and was unsteady on her feet. When asked to perform one-leg stand and walk and turn tests, Harrington instead broke out her cross-disciplinary dance moves. Harrington, who refused to take a breath test, was charged with a pair of misdemeanors and booked into the county jail. Harrington, who works for a St. Petersburg bar and grill, was arrested for DUI in 2019 following a car crash.
Do you think if you're a good enough dancer, you could dissuade them from arresting you? Like, if you really just wowed them?
There's that old Reno 911 clip where she's giving him the test and he starts doing these dance, or she makes him do dance moves. And the next thing you know, he's like this amazing dancer. I love that bit. So anyhow, she subsequently copped to a reduced charge of reckless driving in her first DUI case. We'll see how this one goes. Months after their son was shot and killed and the investigation didn't lead anywhere, the mother in this case took the case into her own hands and started looking for the culprit. The search ended when the mother shot a woman she mistakenly took for the person responsible for her son's death.
My bad.
The 65-year-old man from Norfolk, Virginia, and his longtime partner lost their son in March 2021 after he was shot and killed in Cleveland, Ohio. The father told investigators he was not satisfied with the investigation into their son's death and said his partner's mental state had been collapsing ever since then.
Oh, boy.
The man said that his partner told him that she would kill the person responsible for their son's death if she ever found them. During their investigation, detectives said they found a blue notebook with handwritten notes from the mother who, with loose pieces of paper covered with names, addresses, phone numbers, travel directions, and other personal information.
I wonder what level of certitude she would need before she shot somebody.
The notes showed the mother planned to kill the woman that she believed was responsible for her son's death and then die by suicide.
I'm reasonably sure.
In November of last year, the mother shot someone named Chelsea, a woman that she mistakenly identified as her son's killer.
I'm two for all.
On the night of November 5th, Chelsea was home cooking in her kitchen when she heard a knock at the door. When she looked through the peephole, she saw what seemed to be a UPS delivery person who claimed to have a package for her. She opened the door. The mother, who was wearing a uniform, pointed a gun at her and shot her. The woman ran up the stairs to lock herself into the bedroom with one of her family members yelling, "I've been shot. I'm sorry. I knew I shouldn't have opened the door." Apparently, the woman later told police that the mother had spray-painted the word "pig" on one of her family members' vehicles months prior. During an interview with detectives, the father said earlier that day that he and his partner were sightseeing in Washington, D.C. The man said his partner then suggested visiting her friend Chelsea, adding that she had a package for her. When his partner got out of the car to drop off the package in question, he said that he couldn't see where she went, but heard two gunshots. Shortly after, the mother walked back to the car with the box still in her hand and said, "Let's go."
So it sounds like the despair has driven this person crazy.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
The couple quickly changed their vehicle's license plate from the Arkansas one to Virginia plates, but they were pulled over by the police mere moments later after he made an illegal turn. By the way, Chelsea was taken to the hospital. She survived her injuries.
Thank God.
And the mother died of suicide days later.
Wow.
Yeah. Detectives said they found no information that suggested the woman was involved in the couple's son's death. The father pleaded guilty to accessory after the fact to assault with intent to kill.
None of this ended well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty messed up story. And that's why it's in the bizarre file.
It was a powerful one. It was like a powerful episode of The Nanny.
All right, so we have 2 minutes left for you to enter the word Conquest. You better get on it now. It's for MMR's Concert Cash, Conquest. We want you to win that money and those tickets, so do it now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. When we return, a very good friend, I believe Mr. Mark Summers,
yay,
will be in our studio, and more of Kathy's Cuts and so on. Mark is in the Acme Lounge, so we'll get him in here in the studio in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve. Podcasters, would you like to go to Preston and Steve's advanced screening of Doctor Strange Into the Multiverse of Madness on May 4th at the UA King of Prussia at 7 p.m.? Well, go to WMMR.com right now, scroll down to the contest ribbon, and tap the Secret Contest. There's an entry form there just for you. Good luck, and thanks for listening.
Kathy's Cuts is happening as we speak, and she is at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. We just had you speaking with some people who cut off, like, what, Kathy, like 17 inches of hair?
Yep, and a woman just walked in, and she said that the last time she cut her hair was the last event that we had. So I think a lot of people doing that and, have more than the 14 inches that they require. I mean, they technically require 12, but they prefer 14 inches. And people coming in, we spoke to that other girl last time. She had 17 inches.
Wow.
And the woman who just walked in, like I said, definitely has more than 14 inches of hair ready to donate.
Nice. And so for an operation like this, how many hairstylists are in there? It's a ton, right?
What do we have here? Wait, we have six. I think there's eight here, and okay. I think there's seven over at David Arnold Hair.
Oh, I thought it was more than that. So these guys are working. They're like just nonstop.
Around the clock.
Yeah.
Oh, conveyor belt style.
Yeah. They just keep, when they're finished, the next person gets in their chair and they start on a new person. Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Well, it's going great guns. We're full, and we're going to keep checking back. Anybody want to hit or plug at this point in time?
Yeah, of course, Dunkin'. Everybody's enjoying coffee and bagels and donuts. So thank you so much to Dunkin'. They, support us in whatever we do, and they're at both salons. And then True Beauty Concepts. There's gift bags for everybody who donates. And I just went through the gift bags. There's awesome stuff in there. It's not like, just throwaway things that they throw in there. They have some really good hair products that they're leaving with. And if you want more information about what we're doing, of course, it's on PrestonandSteve.com. But who's benefiting from it is Wigs for Kids. And you can donate on your own if you're not able to get in on our event. You go to wigsforkids.org.
All right, excellent, Kath. We'll check back in a few, and we're also going to talk to the founder of Wigs for Kids, Jeffrey Paul, a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we have a gentleman who is welcome anytime.
In fact,
we've given him a key to the executive washroom.
Absolutely.
So at any point in time, you could walk in the door and see him sitting on the toilet. It's just what we wanted to do.
He doesn't even have to go.
No, he doesn't. Mark Summers is here.
Hey!
Man, I haven't been to one of these therapy sessions in over 3 years. Unbelievable.
It's what it is, right?
It really is.
We get stuff out in the open here.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff. You know, I have nothing to plug. I have nothing to talk about, so I'm very curious to see, being the experts that you are, where we're going with this whole thing.
Well, first, we want to see how you are doing and how's your health and all that stuff.
It's not been good. I'm going to be totally honest.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had the worst case of COVID. Insane. I was in bed for a month.
Whoa!
Yeah, and part of the reason I'm here in Philly is I haven't seen my oncologist in over 3 years, and I just got to find out what's wrong with me. I can't seem...
Did you have a long COVID?
Well, you know, I was so bad, and they gave me that Pfizer pill deal.
Yeah.
And it was... It almost took me out.
Yeah.
The pain... muscle and bones. I would wake up every morning at 3 a.m. and went out. I was in tears. I just was horrible.
Wow.
And I called my doctor and I said, I can't do this. He said, if you don't take it, you're really going to be in bad shape.
So wow. Because you're compromised.
Yeah.
And so yeah. You've had a couple of issues.
Yeah.
And so I would figure that it would womp you. How do you feel now?
Just okay.
Oh, wow.
Is seeing us making you feel dramatically
much
better?
That's the whole reason I'm here, is to see if you guys can cure me.
We are faith healers.
you were being so careful, too.
Yeah, I was being beyond careful.
Yeah, because we had
really
been in
a stupid thing.
Did Oprah come over to your house?
Yeah. Did who?
Did Oprah come over to your house?
I don't know if you just read. She didn't leave the house for 322 days.
I know.
So she certainly wasn't coming to my house. No, I you know, it was getting better, and I was triple vaxxed, and somebody called me. I haven't been doing a hell of a lot to go do some interviews at some food conference down in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And, you know, the old thing, you had to be vaxxed and, you know, tested and temperature and all that stuff. And it became a super spreader. And I know it was either there or Guy Fieri is starting a new game show. And he called me up and said, hey, Summers, come and give me some tips. And I found out that many people on the set were getting that. So one or the other, I got.
Oh, I understand that at the food event you were at, they had a public salt lick.
Bad idea.
That have contributed?
No, just a teeny, but it was really good.
It's sea salt.
Hey, with that, speaking of food and all that stuff, did you happen to lose your taste or anything?
I didn't. My wife did. I was sadly gave it to her, and she couldn't taste or smell anything.
Kathy had the reaction of And then it started to come back in, and then obviously the spice, the things you think that would be able to pierce that did, and I think she's back 100%. In fact, I saw her eating some hair. So
I'm not going anywhere with that. But
for you, it's like old times.
Yeah, honest to God,
it's like prom night. But,
you know, when COVID first started, Bobby Flay and Mark Vetri invited me to Vegas. Flay had opened a new restaurant, and I called my oncologist and I said, it's Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
People there never thought COVID existed in the first place. And he said, okay, wear your mask in, take it off to eat, wear your mask out, and then get the hell out of there. And when I went to Vegas, nobody is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the most insane thing. The restaurant is called Amalfi. If you go to Las Vegas, it is spectacular.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. And then I went to Mark's place that he has in Vegas the next night, so I was just pampered for 2 days. But I didn't get it there. I was very cautious. I've been living like a hermit for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, and you seem pretty good with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we talked to you, you said you were kind of in that, I think I'm enjoying this a lot stage.
Yeah.
And so, but while you're whiling away your time there, you're also, I think, sort of a driven person.
But there's nothing to be driven to right now. You know?
Well, what do you do around the house, you know, that... What do you do for Mark Summers? What is your... I'm going to just tinker around with this.
Well, first of all, you should know by now, Jews don't tinker, but we hire people to do that.
To tinker for you. Yeah, I'm a professional tinker.
That's right.
This should be the name of your autobiography. Jews don't tinker.
Jews don't tinker. Yeah. But I do a 5-mile walk every day. And it just clears my head.
It's the best.
And some days I listen to music. Some days I listen to, you know.
You never listen to us, do you?
I know I do. Actually, I do. Yeah, I go to your website on a regular basis, as a matter of fact. But some days I go to the ocean. Some days I go to the mountains.
Wow.
And it just is the best thing for me. And there's this little coffee place where all the old guys from the area sit and just gossip. And it's hysterical to sit down and listen to what, and they said, hey, you know, Larry David bought a house right around the corner from you. And I went, no, I didn't, you know. And like 2 weeks later in the newspaper, Larry David buys a house. Like, how do you guys know this?
Are you contributing or are you just listening?
No, I'm just, I have nothing to contribute.
Okay.
What's your name, young fella?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it's like. You know, the most obscure show I ever did was a show called Biggers and Summers on Lifetime. And this man sitting there drinking coffee goes, with an English accent, which I can't do. Mark Summers, Biggers and Summers. I went, nobody knows I ever did this. I was a guest. You were a guest? Yeah. I reported on the royal family. I had no recollection. This was like 20 plus years ago. And now he's living in Santa Barbara area.
So I liked when you were going through some of your old stuff.
And
you were posting things of autographed pictures and pieces of memorabilia and stuff like that. You have a nice little collection of things.
It's insane. I have this... a storage area that I had two massive things. I've got rid of one now. But to sort of ramble through the people that I was lucky enough to come in contact with or the pieces of memorabilia. I found stuff the last day the Alice TV show shot. The next morning I drove over there and just started stealing stuff. And I found that stuff, you know, and contacted Linda Lavin recently and we're talking. And, you know, I hadn't talked to her in years. So, yeah, I, because there's nothing to do.
Right.
But you were doing stuff. You do a lot of stuff, and it's hard to keep on top of it. Actually, I think you're underselling your deal. You dabble a little bit back into radio.
I'm starting a podcast. Shoot Me in the Head.
Oh.
There's 800,000 podcasts, literally 800,000.
Yeah.
And these people kept coming to me, and I kept thinking, I have nothing to say.
We're already approving of it.
We're starting to record, and we're going to hopefully release it fourth quarter. And my whole point, you know, you have to have some point of view, and mine is overcoming obstacles. And the stories, one of my first guests was Anthony Ramos, who I've known. He was 19 years old when I was doing Grease, and he's blown up into the
super talented star.
And we talked for almost 2 hours, so we got to edit the hell out of it. But he was brilliant and told me things that he hasn't ever told anybody else. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get people to open up and tell us things. Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for, and maybe a guest for the podcast at some point, for turning us on, specifically to Ian Shive, the photographer.
Oh.
Man, is he a fascinating guy. And he's been to some really strange and odd places, like the Aleutian Islands. And I know you were working on that.
We did that special with him. And we did a shark special for Discovery as well.
Man, does he live an interesting life. And so I know you guys have become friends as well. When was the last time you chatted with Ian?
Well, he just moved up near me, and we talk all the time. We're working on a couple of projects together one more time. Talk about a man who has stories.
It's fascinating.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the whole thing with the Aleutian Islands was just amazing. I've never seen stuff like that before.
And he's a brilliant photographer. He has these stories where he was going to the Ganges River and a riot broke out, and how he literally scampered up this side of a building and ended up in some guy's patio. And he's got all these stories because he does those things and puts himself in situations that you go, well, first of all, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And he has nerves of steel.
You know, it's funny. We talked to another Nat Geo level photographer who's the renowned photographer of tigers.
Mm.
And every time I ask them, because of the changing nature of technology, how they get what they get these days, really for him, the deal is to trek into the remotest areas, set the camera, remote operate it, you know, and go back and see what kind of pictures he got, because
you can't be there.
So there's a shot of like tigers right there.
Oh yeah,
right in front of the camera. But it's just amazing. And with drones and lenses and it's astonishing what they're able to pull off these days.
I'll tell you a story. The way Ian and I actually met, he had a show. He's a national photographer for the National Park Service.
Yeah.
And so, you think if you're going to take a shot of a waterfall at Yosemite Falls, you go up, you just snap a picture, and you go, wait, well, no, that's not how it works. You go and you do the research and all this stuff. And so we thought that would be a great TV show. So William Morris was handling us at the time, and we said, we want to go pitch this. They went to us, and they said, yeah, nobody in the world will ever buy that show. And I said, we'll set up some meetings. Where do you want to go? Well, we want to go to Nat Geo, and we want to go to Discovery.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're in that meeting longer than 10 minutes, let me know. So Ian and I fly to New York. We go to Nat Geo. We do our pitch, and we're about 4 minutes into it. The guy's looking at his watch, and he goes, you know, boys, this isn't for us. And we're literally at the elevator 9 minutes in.
And I called William Morris, and they went, out of the meeting already, huh? they said, you want us to cancel Discovery? And we said, no, we're going down to Washington. So Ian and I take a train down to D.C., and we go in the hotel, and I say, show me everything on your computer. So he shows me everything on his computer. We go to the meeting the next day, and we start doing the same pitch. And about 5 minutes in, the guy goes, you know, boys, we're never going to do this. But I remembered seeing a picture of sharks in Cuba.
Yeah.
And I said, would you guys be interested in doing a shark special in Cuba? And they went, yeah, you can't get into Cuba. And Ian said, I can get you into Cuba. And that's how we got our shark special.
Wow. That's, oh, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. So I was telling Preston, I started watching The Offer, the story of the, mm-hmm. you know, the making of The Godfather. And they have a couple of dramatic representations of pitch sessions.
Yeah.
And I've always heard, and then this is more on the entertainment, you know, straight up, not you know, you're in documentaries, but it's a brutal thing. Like, it's really brutal. Is that usually how it is?
Yeah, usually they're not listening. You know, the worst part about these Zoom pitches recently right. is, I mean, this is a great, I wanted to pitch somebody at Food Network, so they gave me to some new young executive. Fantastic. So when we started, I said, let me just make sure before we started that you know that I've been at Food Network. Oh, I grew up watching you on Unwrapped. I said, okay, cool. So I start doing a pitch, and the girl says to me, I won't mention any names, I don't want to embarrass anybody, have you ever heard of a show called Restaurant Impossible? And I said, excuse me? She said, have you ever heard of a show called Restaurant Impossible? I said, yeah, I produced the first 160 episodes of it, you know?
So you have.
Yeah, I've heard of it. And so, you know, it's very hard for us old guys, and it's a different world. Look, the world is about TikTok now,
yeah.
okay? And they ain't hiring, you know, 70-year-old white Jewish men to do anything anymore.
Maybe that's the new TikTok trend.
Who are 70 and over?
Show me your 20-second dance and we can get you going.
That's something you really don't want to see. But so the world has changed. And, you know, I went to New York for the first time in 3 years. And our coffee shop that I've been going to since 1964 is boarded up. Okay, the first hotel I went to in New York, boarded up.
It's sad.
And when I walk down Chestnut and Walnut here, you know, the Liberty Mall, everything is, and this is America right now. I mean, Los Angeles, everywhere you go, it's just weird. And how long will it take us to get back? And will we ever get back?
I tell you what, I think we will. And I think, like, we were at an event the other night for Cora, Preston, and myself, and Nick. You know, and Rob McElhenney was in, and Caitlin Olson were there, and they were receiving an honor. And we looked down, and there were tables of people smiling and looking around and conversation and food and drink and all that sort of stuff for a good cause. I think, yes, I think it's, you know, yeah, once you lay it out there, people will get, and you get back to your own level of what you feel comfortable with. But yes, I do think so. It is sad to see, you know,
some of these places
that have been in families for decades, that were they lived it.
Yeah.
They put their heart and souls into it to have it go away. But hopefully, you know, there'll be something, and some of these places will come back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've been doing is because once again we all have too much time on our hands. I've been watching a gentleman by the name of Jordan Klepper. Do you know Jordan Klepper?
Oh yeah, Jordan's great.
He's brilliant, and I have no qualms about direct messaging people and saying, hey, you know, a fan of your stuff, and generally I get back, luckily.
Have you ever seen Restaurant Impossible?
And he got right back to me and said, you know, you're my childhood, I grew up on your stuff. And I said, I'm coming to New York. So I had a three-hour lunch on Saturday with Jordan Klepper. And I tell you what I love about him. He's a 40-something guy who is like us. You guys put your time in. You didn't just start here and become the number one, you know, guys. Right. And you did a lot of work to get here, okay? Right. And most of the people want to become president that I meet, you know, on day one. They come out of college and they want to run everything. This guy gets it. He did his homework. He went to Chicago. He did Second City. He did Upright Citizens Brigade. But his point of view is brilliant. And to sit and talk to a 42-year-old guy for 3 hours who I'd never met before was brilliant. So I get my mail at a little UPS place up in Santa Barbara. And every day, for some reason, as I'm going in, coming out is Dennis Miller. Every day. We're on the same...
I love Dennis.
Yeah. And so I said to him the other day, you know, we keep passing each other. Why don't we have lunch? So on Friday, I'm going to have lunch with Dennis Miller.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so this is the kind of crazy stuff
I'm doing. Well, here's your podcast. Look at and you sit and have a conversation, multi-hour podcast. I think, again, we've talked about the last time we took an estimate, maybe Marissa can verify this, but there was a big... This was about 3 or 4 years ago, podcasting convention, you know, and about everyone's trying to figure, or at least relay that they're an expert on this thing that no one really knows, with, even at this
still.
Point. So, but at that point, there were about, and I keep quoting this number, about 800,000 unique shows. Not episodes,
no,
separate shows.
Yes.
And so, but I mean, you are known for your ability to converse and to engage and to host. And so I think it's only, are you with a syndication group of sorts?
Yeah, well, we're going to make an announcement soon.
Okay.
And it's a lot of work.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think ever in my life if I just stopped someone and gone, why don't we go out to lunch sometime?
Oh.
Would you really?
You should do that. I mean,
should,
you
yeah.
know, right?
Yeah.
I'd be glad to, Preston.
Some
Gary Lauer.
Gary Lauer. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great way to...
I had three testicles.
Oh, yeah. That's our buddy Gary. Yeah, that's a guy we know.
I
don't think I've ever done that. Hey, you know, why don't we get
you
to
know
each other a little bit?
Preston, and then to follow through with it. Like, he has, so Mark, you have a genuinely inquisitive, I want to know, I mean, about you sort of vibe that is sincere. People respond to that.
Well, and that's something that's definitely come out of the past couple of years is when somebody's like, oh my God, we should catch up sometime. You kind of realize what's
important.
I never
want to see this person again.
Yes, and that's been okay. But there are some people that you need to catch up with.
You're
in life,
right, yes.
Including you, Mark, when you popped up on Saturday Night Live a few months ago.
Oh, my God.
I texted you in real time.
Yes, in real time.
It was 1 a.m. in Philly. Thank goodness you're on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, I'm home. And I get a text from Bobby Flay saying, hey, dude, turn on Saturday Night Live. You're on.
So Bobby Flay alerted you.
I was watching, sitting home. And I was like, that, you know, why 30 plus years after the fact are they doing that? But it was just bizarre that, you know, that generation is now doing Saturday Night Live.
We talked about the skit, and it was, and they were testing all these goo things that were weren't working. But did you approve of your impression?
Well, no. The guy obviously had never seen me before. and I sent him I was going to send him a FedEx that said, nice try, but I was nicer than that. And I said, hey, you know, nice job. I'm going to be in New York City, and I'd love to meet you. And, of course, he never responded.
See, now he's missing an opportunity then.
Yeah, you know, I always write thank you notes, and I contact people, and I, you know, through social media can direct message people. You know, I watch the CBS Sunday morning or CBS morning show every morning, and there's a reporter, Tony DeCopel, who I just think is amazing. And so I direct message him, and now we're friends, and we, you know, interact and this and that. And I just think it's fun to be able to do that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's how you build a network of people, you know, that are your collect, like, you know, the biography on you and you know, which we were the time you had the presentation here in the
can't give that thing away. It's become the most expensive home movie. I've been to more distributors. I just took it to we did like a 10 city tour.
Yeah, right.
But I just took it to a big producer, and he looked at it and he goes, I have no idea what the hell to even do with this stuff. And he said, and I showed it to some younger members of my staff who have no idea who you are and just don't get it. So, you know, I think I'm pretty much done trying to push that thing. But, you know, certain things you do out of, you know, passion and hope that it's going to take off. Now, I've gotten phone calls. This is the one I'm trying to decide. You know, I did a one-man show a couple years ago, and we did it first in Bloomington, Indiana. Then we did the Adirondack Theater Festival. And I'm getting phone calls to go out and do it, not this summer, but next summer. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be almost 72 years old.
Yeah.
Can I memorize 70 pages again? And there's the last third of the show has to be changed because, you know, so many things are different from
right.
when we first wrote that stuff. Do I want to put myself through that misery, or do I just want to say,
well,
no?
What's your earliest inclination on
I
that?
I said yes to keep the dates because
right.
I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But I have to give them, you know, the thumbs up at some point pretty soon, and I'm a nervous wreck about
so
this thing.
What's your best advice for that mnemonic to remember? You know, you've had to remember things throughout your life.
Yeah. But this is actually
Preston
lines.
And I will do a 30-second commercial. Now, extemporaneously, we're fine.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll give us a 30-second or a 10-second tag to do.
Script.
Yeah. And we've
had
to,
an hour and
we
half,
have to have
right?
cue cards the size
yeah,
of a building.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's
can't
the thing. There's 70 pages in this script, okay?
Yeah.
And it's my life. But, you know, it's a one-man show, but there's another guy who plays every other character in my entire life. And so if it was just me, I could ad-lib and screw around.
Yeah.
But this guy's waiting for me to feed him lines.
Yeah.
So if I don't give him the lines, he's screwed.
Right.
And so I really have to know what the hell's going on. And Alex Brightman, who wrote my show, is now back on Broadway doing Beetlejuice. So I'm trying to capture Brightman to say, hey, we need to take the last 20 pages and rewrite stuff because, you know, here's what changed and here's what I'm doing and all that stuff.
That guy is super talented, by the way, Alex Brightman.
He's fantastic. And so I'm trying to figure it out. You know, it's a lot of pressure to put on anybody at this point of their lives.
So the podcast you're thinking when now?
We're probably going to make an announcement fourth quarter. I got people coming. Linda Lavin's going to do it. I got Al Roker coming up. I did Mike O'Malley, which was fantastic. And so it's just been fun to do the research. You know, I actually spend hours going over your material because you can't just go on and BS. The thing I learned is when COVID first started, I started to do these podcasts just because there was nothing else to do. And most of these people suck. You don't do their homework.
Right, right.
And I now say no because I'm tired of answering the same five questions. Mm-hmm. So somebody requests me to be on show. I say, send me three questions that I've never been asked.
Right.
And I'll do your show. And most people don't even respond to that because all they want to talk, I don't want to talk about Burt Reynolds anymore. I don't want to talk about what the slime was made out of. I don't want to talk about any of this stuff because it's everywhere.
Right,
you know?
Right. You want to move to it? Well, I think it's a perfect fit for you, you know, to do this. We're very excited about that. So who's your dream guest to get for your podcast?
Wow, that's a good one. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, and I've contacted him, and he's just been so busy.
He possesses an attribute that we all love, and every time I've seen an interview, he's very self-deprecating.
Oh, my, but he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's freaking brilliant. And when he was in Santa Barbara at the Santa Barbara Film Festival, I had contacted him and said, you know, let me take you to lunch, let me take you to dinner. And he said, you know, this is like a combat mission. You know, they drive me in, I do the speech, I walk the red carpet, they put me in a car, they take me back, because it was during the Oscars and all that stuff. So we didn't see each other. I've only met him once. He was nice enough to bring me backstage when I went to see Hamilton. But he is nice. He reacts on his emails pretty darn quick.
Did you see, I assume you saw Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? Alice and I looked at it just a couple weeks ago. That was magnificent.
Yeah, we just watched it again in my house last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And I sent him, it was 2 in the morning, and all I said, I can't say what I said in the email, but I said, holy, you know, I had no idea. It was unbelievable how good it was, you know?
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, so he's busy and he's great. And so he would be a great guest, I think, you know? I'm not sure who else, but I want to kind of keep it current and topical.
Do you need to get them face-to-face, or are you going to...
They're better in the studio. The Zoom ones...
I mean, we can say honestly, you're a dud on the phone, Mark.
I suck. I am.
But here, you're great.
It's just hard to do. I agree 150%. So we try and get people to come down there.
But there's just something little visual. Now, Zoom has been nice for us.
No, it sucks.
Yeah.
But if you get the slightest bit of delay, there's something that's missed there.
But when we're looking eye to eye here,
it's so much better.
Yeah. And this studio is in the bowels of Los Angeles. And so to get there, I still have to use MapQuest. I have no idea where the hell I'm going. So
you don't have your live-in driver?
No. I called Linda Lavin to do it, and she, you know, I don't know where it is, and I can't get there. And, you know, I said, I'll send a car for you, for God's sakes. I'll pick you up. You know, I really want you to do this thing. But, you know, that's the hard part. People, because of Zoom, don't want to go anywhere, you know?
You know, those people, though, those that sit in that realm, the kind of guests that we love to get, like, and sadly, Gilbert Gottfried passed, but his Super Colossal podcast focused in on those people that...
Those types.
Who is that guy in Tango and Cash? That guy who's the warden. You've seen him again. Okay. And then those are the people that we love talking to, and he focused in on that. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you have with your connections and people who are fans of yours, it should be area to go.
More than I realize, I'm finding out to be the case. It was interesting. So his Gilbert's co-host is a writer on The View, and I've been doing The View for 20 years. And somebody suggested to him that I do Gilbert's podcast. So he said, well, let me talk to Gilbert about it. So he calls me back. He goes, Gilbert's never heard of you, and he has no idea who you are.
What?
And I said, but he always likes to talk about the old days of the Comedy Store and all that kind of stuff. And I have a million stories because I was there when Jay started, and, you know, and Chandling and this and that. Couldn't get on the show.
Wow. He was also a fan of those kind of the classic the kid shows.
Well, he called me trying to get Bill Dana's number, I remember, one day, because I didn't find it, and he knew I was friends with Bill Dana. But I unfortunately never did it. But I tell you, there's online, the funeral of Gilbert, if you can see it, is brilliant. Okay, and I'll tell you why. It's what every funeral should be. It was hysterical. And his wife got up and could not have been funnier. Okay.
Really?
And so, you know, I went through this whole period of depression over the last couple of months. First, Saget passes away.
Yeah.
Bob and I started together. Mm. When I was doing the warm-ups on Soap, he was next door doing Bosom Buddies. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So that's how far back we go.
Wow.
And so my last text was like December 22nd with him. It's like we were still, you know, friends in contact. So I get a text from a friend going, Bob Saget just died. I went, no, he didn't. I just texted him.
I know.
So that knocked me on my ass. Okay. Yeah. then Louis Anderson, who I didn't know as well, but had done warm-ups on a special of his and stuff, that's like, come on. And then when Gilbert went, I went, you know, these are all guys who are younger than me.
Yeah.
And we're starting to lose everybody, and it's frightening.
Started with Norm.
Norm.
And then you started going through, again, it's one of those where I remember, it was with Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Where I had to... No, I do not believe this. This is BS, and I had to go through multiple sources before I started to do it. And we just had him on the show. It's one of those things where, you know, but again, you enjoy, you embrace the legacy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as they say, all true stories end with death, and so that's part of the deal. It will happen eventually, but it just seemed like we were getting sucker punched right and left by some of the greats.
Mark, you recognize Nick.
Thank you, Mark. Well, just speaking of death and celebrating life, did you see the episode of Curb with Albert Brooks?
Oh, it's fantastic.
So it basically premise the show is that Albert Brooks is not dead, but they have a funeral for him anyway. And then he watches it via a closed circuit camera from another portion of the house. And he gets angry, right. But it made me think about, like, celebrating somebody's life while they're still alive. Would you ever consider anything like that? Like,
No.
Why not?
No. You know, I don't have a burial spot. I figured, you know, you guys deal with that stuff. I could care less, you know? I don't want to even think about that stuff, yeah, you know?
I just, we don't celebrate the people who are alive enough while they're alive, you know?
It's very true.
And some people have done that, though. Some people have had, I've seen events where that is sort of, in fact, I think in Coming to America, the second one,
King Joffrey Jafar.
He has his funeral so he can attend it.
While he's still alive.
But unfortunately for people like Saget, who as successful as he was, I don't think he would have foreseen what a hit that was to a lot of people in this country.
Huge. I do have picked the music for my funeral.
Okay.
Walking in, James Taylor's Secret of Life.
Uh-huh.
Walking out, James Taylor's Shower the People.
Oh, wow. That's a good choice.
Wow.
I thought about that a lot.
Not Whip My Hair.
That's not... Well, you couldn't, but... you know, I was doing radio.
It's a good cadence to
Is this the Mark Summers event?
I was filling in a radio and doing what I want to do, which is interview stuff like that. And they kept getting mad at me because they wanted me to do politics and all the stuff. So I kept getting little emails, you know, you really need to talk about this. You really need to talk about that. And of course I ignored it because
need to alienate half your audience immediately.
Exactly. And so I came in one day and the assistant news director was there and handed me literally 40 pieces of a copy and said, the first hour you can do the interview, but then you need to do this. Nah. So I didn't do it. So I'm driving home. It's 9 o'clock at night now. Now, that's the thing. It's 2 hours to get down to LA to do this thing. And I stop and have dinner, and it's a 2 hour drive back. So I'm putting in time and plus doing the research because when I get home at 9 o'clock at night, I start doing research for the next day.
Yeah.
And so the phone rings. It's 9 o'clock in the car, and it's the program director. He goes, "Hey, Mark, how are you?" And I said, "I'm fine. But I've been in this business long enough to know that when the phone rings at 9 o'clock and it's a PD, there ain't any good news coming down the road." Mm-hmm. He said, "Yeah, you're killing me." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You just can't do those interviews like that for an hour." And I would do Ian Shive and I would, you know, I had Tom Dreesen on talking about Sinatra and all this stuff. And he says, "I need to do at least 2 hours of talking about, you know, what's going on in D.C. And, you know, they wanted a right-wing point of view." And I said, "Yeah, I'm not doing that."
Yeah.
And he said, "You're refusing to do it?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, then you're fired." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "You're not mad?" I went, "No, I'm not mad." And he said, "Well, why don't you just do what we ask you to do?" And I said, "Because I don't want to do that crap, you know?" And so I walked away from it, you know?
You're in a good place to be able to do that. You know? Yeah.
I mean, it was fun, but I'm not going to do that. I mean, driving in, the guy before me was doing all the stuff that he wanted me to do, and on the way home, the guy after me was doing that again.
Yeah.
Why do they need me to keep doing that, you know?
Yeah, it just becomes, I get it. It's funny, though. You're right. You never get a call from the boss.
Only at night.
Hey, Mark,
great news.
Want
to go to lunch?
Mark, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're syndicating it.
But the thing about it was, on their website, I had the most hits of anybody on their job.
Ah,
oh,
yeah.
And then there were people saying, you should bring him back full time. So I made photocopies of that, you know, took screenshots, just sent them to him.
How long are you in town for while you're...
I'm at the lovely University of Pennsylvania Hospital today, and then tomorrow back to New York, and then I fly back to Los Angeles on Wednesday.
Well, besides your the COVID stuff that seems to be lingering, we are confident everything will be good with you.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Thank you. It's always great to see you. It just makes me feel so good and so happy and brings up my energy, and I just love you guys.
Well, likewise. It's awesome to see you.
Yep. Any Philly restaurants you hit up while you were here?
Well, I think I may see Mark Vetri tonight, if I can cross my fingers right. I heard the new pasta places.
Oh, Fiorello?
Yeah, I heard it's amazing.
So good.
Yeah, I've dropped Bobby's name 17 times and I never do that. But Bobby said it's like the most... I went to Mark's restaurant in Vegas, and I called Bobby and said it's like amazing. He goes, no. Nothing like the place in Philly. So, you know.
Okay. Take that, Vegas.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Good luck, Mark. Great to see you.
Good
love
see you. Guys.
We'll see you soon.
Love you guys, too.
Mark Summers, guys. Yay! We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. Kathy's Cuts continuing. We'll check up with her and the founder of Wigs for Kids, whom are benefiting from this event today and more. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Test 1, 2. Barn door. Low-hanging fruit. Third leg of the stool. Talk Like Bill Weston Day 2022 is coming on. With the Daily Rush, you can celebrate it every day. Watch highlights from our Who Said It Best in Game, including an appearance from the man about town himself. Oh, you're going to love him. Videos posted on PrestonandSteve.com.
Santa's got to go.
All right, ladies and gents, this event has been long awaited and finally happening. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to pull off Kathy's Cuts. It is happening right now at two different locations. Kathy is in Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. And then you have, I lost my information sheet.
David Arnold.
Take it away. Thank you very much.
David Arnold Hair
That's
Salon.
That's in Jenkintown. Written down in front of me, folks, I'm pretty much a lost cause.
It's okay. You know what? I can't forget where I am because I'm at Gravity Hair Salon at Plymouth Meeting, and I was just talking to the owners, Joe and Kara, and they've actually been doing this with us since the very first day. They were the ones that came into the studio 15 years ago, but this is our 13th annual because we took a two-year hiatus during COVID. But so they've been doing it with us for 13 years. They came into the studio, and Joe is the one that cut my hair, and it sort of kind of snowballed from there. That's how the whole concept started.
It's fantastic, and the fact that they step up all the time, and it is sort of this familial aspect to this, and seeing the so we have a shot on people getting their haircut right now, Kathy. And again, they're not just getting the bum's rush; they're getting real nice hairstyles.
Yes, and I am actually standing here. It's like such a cute story. A couple came in and they got their haircut together. What's your name?
Mitch
and Bridget. Mitch and Bridget are from King of Prussia, right? And how much hair did each of you were you able to get?
15 inches.
Wow.
20 inches.
So 15 and 20 inches.
Whoa.
Right? So what you made a decision to come and cut your hair. How'd you make that decision?
Well, we took a break getting haircuts during the pandemic. And so after it reached a certain point, we were like, well, we should just keep going and donate it. And then once we found out about this event, we were like, well, that's perfect. Great. Time to get a haircut.
Whose idea was it?
I guess it was mine because I'm the one that regularly listens to you guys. And, you know, before the pandemic, I'm in accounting. So having longer hair was kind of an experiment for me, a little radical for the profession. So, you know, finally when the restrictions were starting to come back down and you guys were putting on the event again, it was time.
Well, thank you both so much. I mean, that is a big donation, and that's really going to go to some great use. They'll be able to take your ponytail and make a wig for a child. So thank you.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. That's awesome.
What does she think of his new hairdo?
What do you think of his hairdo?
Oh, I'm surprised. I really like it. I loved the long hair, so I was sad to see it go. But I think he looks great with short hair.
Excellent.
And what do you think about hers?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's I think... because of all the maintenance that goes into it, you know, I've been able to sympathize, right? So we both had the same problem. So it's like, all right, it's time.
Well, you both look great. Thank you so much.
I think they're going to go home and have sex right now. It'd be like being with two different people.
Not even home. The parking lot.
Right there.
Yeah, you can
do that. By the way,
you can always count on them to ruin a moment.
They're laughing. Look at them.
No, they are.
Hey,
are.
By, by the way, Kathy, I saw the before and after of, I guess, the guy that you called the Wolfman.
Right?
Oh, my God.
He had a handlebar mustache.
Did they shave him, too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yes. They took all of the hair off of his head Pubes. And his face.
He had a real, not just a beard, he had a long beard. And handlebar mustache and the whole thing. Like, his beard went down below his nipples. Like, it was that far.
I'm getting the photos sent to me, and I had to, like, do them side by side to make sure it was the same person. I wasn't sure.
That's that awesome. One was, every time I show that to somebody, they go, no, that's not the same guy.
Wow. We
had some people out from the news stations, 6ABC and NBC 10 came out, and I was talking to the photographer at NBC 10, and he goes, that guy has to be hiding from the law.
Ooh, what a great opportunity for to disguise yourself, come and get totally changed.
Can't be a criminal. He's doing something charitable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, well, we'll check back in again as we go through the morning, and we're awaiting a call from Jeffrey Paul, who's the founder of Wigs for Kids, so he should be calling us any moment now, and we'll find out a little bit more about that organization and how this started, how this whole thing got together. But Kathy, I can't believe it's been 15 years that we've been doing this.
I know. I was just talking about it with Joe and how it just kind of like, and they're so into doing it. Like every year I bring it up, I'm like, oh, are they still going to want to do it? And he's like, sometimes he'll come to me and I'll be like, hey, we got to get planning. So they're totally into it. And David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown, they came on a few years ago and they're the same way. Like he was reaching out to me because we were kind of set with Gravity. And Jason from David Arnold Hair Salon was reaching out to me. And he was like, hey, if you ever need another salon, let me know. Let me know. And then as it started to grow, I was like, hey, we got to call those people in Jenkintown. And and then also True Beauty Concepts, they donate all of the hair products for the stylists to use and for the donors to take home with them. And like, you know, I've been mentioning all morning, Duncan is here. And then Balloons by Victoria did some great decorations here for us.
So in years past, we've done this on a Friday and now we're doing it on Monday. And to me, that makes more sense because Monday is usually when hair salons are closed for business. So, you know, the fact that they had done it for so many years on a relatively busy day, you know, was really, really generous of them.
Well, that's the thing. I know David Arnold shuts down their hair salon for the event. So, and then here at Gravity, I mean, they're fortunate enough. They have two salons. So one of their salons remains open. And then this one where we are in Plymouth Meeting is closed. But all of the stylists, I mean, they're donating their time. They're not getting paid for this. So, you know, when they put this out to all of their stylists and the people that sign on for it, I mean, you know, I walked around and said thank you to all of them because they're here for free.
Kathy, it was 15 years ago that you said if we did hit the 15-year mark, you would do your interpretive dance called Follicle.
Remember?
Live on air.
Remember when you said that?
So you guys know my memory. I don't remember that.
Oh, you said that.
I said that?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a minute to choreograph.
All right. Get something together. We'll get that next on video. All right. Thank you, Kathy Romano.
By the way, she didn't say that.
Hey, I do want to mention a shout out. I'm trying to hit these on the dates if I can. And I think I got this one because they were looking for May 2nd. That's today. And this is from Megan Ferrier. She says, hey, my partner Austin has his 36th birthday coming up May 2nd. Austin loves listening to the Preston and Steve show every morning, and it's rubbed off on me. It's our routine to wake up, immediately put on MMR, and then have little dance parties all morning long.
That's pretty cool.
With our almost 2-year-old son. He's had a really rough year, struggling with mental health in a world still not well equipped to adapt or be understanding. But still, he gets up every day, tries his best to support his family, regardless of where he's at mentally. I really can't explain how proud of him I am. I asked what he wanted for his birthday this year, and he responded, I'd be happy with a shout out.
Oh.
So could you please send Austin a nasty shout out to my love? Thank you, and hope you and the team have a great day from Megan. So here's a shout out. Austin, hope you have an awesome day, and happy birthday to you, sir.
Yeah, and because yesterday was May 1st, we didn't get to play stuff like this.
And May is one damn fine month to be working outdoors.
We always get to do that on May 1st, as well as this one.
It's gonna be May.
We can do it anyway.
Wait, what's that from?
That's NSYNC.
Oh, okay.
What is the name of the song? It's going to be
it
me.
It appears on the Shawshank soundtrack.
Is that right?
It's going to be me.
Oh, yeah. The scene where they're in the laundry when they're raping him. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
It's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
It is in the movie. Yeah. It's a scene in the movie.
All right, so what is this?
The month of Yes, You May, the time for every frivolous whim.
And we actually have the whole month to play.
Yeah, true. It's we don't just have to do it on the first day.
Yeah.
By the way, I got this email. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but this is from listener Steve in Scottsdale, Arizona. He said, I saw this license plate and I could not contain myself. Gang, this is it. I have a picture of it for you to see. Mm. It says Manthe on
it.
Oh.
No, it does not.
It is a license plate in Arizona, M-A-N-T-H-Y.
I'm so flattered.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what they would... What Manthe would mean to that person.
Is it possible that they're listeners?
But I don't know. Maybe
they like
so.
Succulents?
I mean, Steve from Steve from Scottsdale is a listener, and he's there. So Manthe is on a license plate.
I love it.
I love it. All right.
I love you.
Well, listen, we've waited for the founder of Wigs for Kids, so we're going to talk about something else.
That's okay. It.
That's fine. Yeah, no call he's had, yeah, he had his time.
I wanted to hear about the new acquisition at the Morrison household.
Yes. So we redid the gardens in the front of our house. Gardens, it's like Versailles, for Christ's sake. No, we did a garden, a flower garden, a few years ago, and... it brings in butterflies and honeybees. And mm-hmm. so my wife, just in passing, had said, I'd like to try, you know, setting up a hive. And so she said in passing, but I put it down on my little gift list. And so for Christmas, I got her this starter hive thing, you know, with the book and all the stuff and the outfit. Well, she was blown away. She took a massive deep dive into it. And she's like with bee organizations now, and she has mentors. And so she and I just I'm so proud of her. She set up two hives in the backyard, had people come over and consult her. And so, everything from all that stuff you see, the beekeepers with the smoker, the stuff that puts out the smoke, yeah, and the different outfits and all the different things. Well, Saturday was the day she went to get her bees.
Wow. Okay.
So yes. I always thought you would put it out and the bee, hey, look at this and that occupancy. Nah,
you got to get your bees.
You got to get your bees.
You got to get a queen. And
you
got
to get your queens, too.
Yeah.
So she went to get the bees, and I'm thinking, what kind of container? It actually looks like an ammo box, And so about that size, 5,000 bees.
Oh, my God.
5,000 bees?
5,000 bees. Right?
Is it making all that noise?
You can hear that. They were a little sedate on the trip back. They are of a variety, you know, honeybees, and I've known this for a while now. When I'm putting my Halloween decorations out or anything in the front yard and walking around through the flowers that have all these bees,
yeah,
they don't care. They're not sting crazy,
right?
And they're actually fairly benign. They're getting down to business. So she comes back with the.
And where does she go to get them? Like what town?
It was about an hour and a half away.
Okay,
yeah. So she did a decent amount of traveling. And she comes back with them, and she's got her mentor comes over, and they got their bee outfits on. And so what they're going to do is they transfer them from that container, and they're basically just they sort of like scooping them along. And there's actually a little ramp up to the one hive, but they put the queen in, and in that process, it's kind of a nail biter because will these bees accept her as their queen, basically?
Oh, no kidding.
And so they did.
They have a little coronation.
Basically, yeah. And I'm like, I said, we've got to come up with an S-load of names now for the bees because there's 5,000 of them. Mm-hmm. So, Preston, what you don't realize, what you might think is a random sort of thing, there are bees performing all sorts of, like, cool. One bee actually gets up at the top of the hive and is flapping its wings furiously. And what it's doing is it's sending out a pheromone cloud to let the other ones know this is cool.
Is he ringing the little bell
the
crier does as he's standing at the beginning?
This one's good.
Yeah.
And so that bee is basically saying to the other bees, okay, this we can live here. We got it. We went. So, and then other bees are going out in like flying in like semicircles around, and they're sort of like expanding their area to check out around the hives, and there's every what might seem like a whole bunch of random activity is actually very precise.
I've seen video of them showing the drones and how they like waggle their butt and
they communicate through
signaling. Dance. Yeah, they're signaling to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So is the hive like a standard looking beehive?
It's a standard looking beehive, and as you get near it, you're... And it's actually, I find that really soothing. It's really cool.
Do you have to use smoke around them?
Yes. So
okay.
She has the smoker. She has, there's a ton of crap. However, So, and then when I mention this, there are a lot of people who are now embracing.
Yeah.
So my guy Kyle from Natural Lawn comes over to do the treatment. He goes, "This I'm seeing these all over the place. Apparently, during the pandemic and all this stuff, like the bee hive bug, no pun intended, got into a lot of people. And so a lot of people are doing it. And then you realize also the medicinal benefits of having honey
local
that's
honey.
Generated in your area.
Yeah.
Steve, I have a podcast for Claire to listen to. Do you guys remember Greg? He used to work for Victory. He now works for Forest and Maine. Really tall guy, would always come out to Cardboard Classic.
Right, yes,
yeah.
So him and his wife have been beekeepers for years. During the pandemic, they started a podcast called Mind Your Hives Beekeeping.
Nice.
And she actually makes skincare out of the honey from there. And they're fun follow because, you know, he'll put the bees on them and just kind of like let them sting or kind of see the reaction. So they are almost their pets. Like, you know, they're part of their family.
It's weird to think of this collection of bees who are just to know that they're doing their business that way and that they are. There's nothing random. They're all performing a function.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very cool.
Yeah. Our main tech who does our handles all our Comcast requirements is a big beekeeper, and he always brings us honey. And I've asked him a ton of questions because I was fascinated with it because it's nothing I'd ever want to do. It looks like way too much work for me. No way. But he finds it very satisfying. And it's not just to get the honey. He just likes doing it. You know what I mean?
It is this city that's functioning. Now, you can't see there, you know, on the inside what's going on. But there are the different, you know, as you see the classic honeycombs and things that they're building. So we have all the equipment, and you've got to make an investment.
Yeah.
But the end result is all the plants in the area are going to look that much better because the bees are actively pollinating and doing all of that, so they're keeping everything will look more robust. It's just a healthier environment. And as they say, beekeepers and people who are into this say they encourage you to do your own hive because the bee population has taken a bit of a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you have an outfit as well?
She got me one.
Okay,
so I promise when I get into mine... she was in hers. She got me mine. We will we'll take a picture so you can see me at my hiviest.
Are you looking forward to being a part of it?
Do you know what? I'm like...
It sounds like something you wouldn't be into.
I am into it through her. Like her zeal. Yeah. Like you. I don't want to play golf, but I like hearing you talk about golf.
Right.
I love hearing Casey talk about cycling. Yeah. Nick, hiking. Marissa... pimping. No, restaurant stuff.
Yeah.
To me,
Steve,
and so,
that was a secret. It was just you and I.
So I'm very interested in it.
How long until we get some honey?
So it takes a while.
Okay.
You know, I haven't got a honey extractor. I didn't know what the hell it is, but I just did my research. And
can you eat honeycomb? Like,
they sell it. You
got a big taste. I know that.
Yeah.
With a big bite.
Yeah. It's not small. Right.
No. All right, I want to bite one.
Yeah.
I've never bitten into a honeycomb. I just
it tastes like honey, and then what's left after the flavor is like it's kind of like wax lips.
Yeah,
you know, it's a wax. It's and there's no flavor left to it. You can swallow it if you want to, or spit it out, or whatever you want.
So you're more like
knick-knacks patty
honey
wax.
Yeah, and there's I know there's They produce the honey. They need that honey to live during the colder times.
Yeah.
But they make excess of it, and that can be yours.
So, and that is amazing. Again, as even Dr. Mike has said, you get honey from your area, it's going to have a much better medicinal application.
Yeah.
In general, and I do love honey.
We have local honey stands up all around where we live, and yes, it's been recommended from allergists. Like, get that stuff, eat it.
Yes.
It'll help you out. But yeah, I'm a big fan of honey.
But to see them like, and you can actually see them start to widen out their flying patterns as they're kind of getting the lay of the land. So like, okay, we were someplace before, now we're here. Okay, this queen's cool. And now we're going to say, all right, let's find out where the flowers are. Like, they're mapping the area. About all these things.
Is it scary at all to have all these bees flying around?
No, because they stay kind of right there. And honeybees, again, I've gone out in the flowers in front. You know, I do an elaborate Halloween display, and they're all around. They're like, we don't give a rat's ass about you. We're doing our deal. It's not like yellow jackets and or you know, other bees that are more aggressive.
Okay. Did you ask the neighbor, or did you let the neighbors know that you were doing this?
Yes, okay, I said, whether you like it or not. No, no, we did, because they had actually, the people who lived next door before had a hive, but we wanted to make sure no one was
allergic,
a real medical issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And did all that, so, yeah. That's cool, and they were awesome. They were very excited.
Hang on, we have Alan, who is a beekeeper, and can chime in on anything. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How long you been keeping bees?
I've been a beekeeper for about 11 years now. I'm in my 11th season.
Wow. How many hives do you have?
It depends. I overwintered 20 colonies this year, and I will have up to 60, 80 colonies.
Oh, my God.
So when you're saying...
before the end of summer.
Alan, when you're saying 60, 80 colonies, does that mean 60 to 80 separate hive, those boxes?
Absolutely.
Okay, wow.
That's wild.
I'm a professional bee remover. I remove bees out of people's houses.
Okay.
That's how I get my colonies.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. When you take on a job to go remove bees, I was going to ask what is done with those. So you will bring them back and put them in your little bee farm there.
As I like to say, they become my girls.
Wow.
That's great. They become honey producers for me.
Yeah, and Alan, so then therefore you can make, that's selling honey. Is that part of your profession as well?
Absolutely. I have a website. If I could promote it, I would love to do it on the air. It's yerkeshoneyfarms.com. I've been featured on FYI Philly, Newsweek, CNN. I'm the guy that did the bees out of the house in Skipback, removed over 450,000 bees.
Oh, that's right. I remember that story.
Oh, yeah.
Three separate colonies, yes.
So, Alan, in those cases...
Hold on one second, Preston. That honey stand that's near you?
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, but that's not true honey.
Okay.
Oh.
What is it?
If you watch the series Rotten on Netflix, it's the very first episode. It's called Lawyers, Guns, and Honey. They tell you how the Chinese buy honey locally, send it to China, mix it 90% to 10% corn syrup, bottle it locally here, and then they put it up as bottled local honey.
Son of a bitch.
Local honey.
By the way, I love that name, Lawyers, Guns, and Honey. That's a great name. Interesting. Okay. All right. Alan, Steve, you were going to ask a question?
Alan, you made me forget my question.
I'm sorry, Steve. All right.
So do you have any advice to people who are going to take this on as, you know, to start off as a hobby and then maybe, you know, expand it a little bit?
It's addictive.
Yeah.
That's well, so is heroin.
the one thing you want to do is you want to start with two hives, not just one.
Right.
Because if one hive is suffering, you can bolster it with the other hive.
So that's what we have. My wife has a couple of mentors and everything. How long until it will start to generate? It's brand new now, Alan. How long before it will start to generate honey?
If you're smart, you won't touch the honey in there till next year.
Okay.
You want them to build that comb and fill that up full of honey and let them have that for the winter. And then next year, around July, you should be able to harvest honey.
Hey, Alan, can you email me, at the station here? And I if I could pass that information off to Claire, I'm sure she'd like to at some point maybe call upon you for your expertise.
Steve, go on my website. Send me an email through my website because I don't have anything to write with right now.
Okay, well, that'll go. That works out because I will forget your website and then we won't ever communicate again.
What's the name of it again, Alan?
I'm going to spell it for you. It's YERKES Honey Farms, FARMS.com.
Okay, excellent. And how many people does it take to mind, 60 colonies?
I believe it or not, I do it by myself. I take one day a week off, and I tend to my bees. You need to dedicate 1 hour a week to your hives to make sure they don't swarm, make sure your queen is doing what she's supposed to be doing, the whole nine yards.
So it does seem rather self-sustaining, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Correct. But there's a difference between being a beekeeper and a bee-haver. Okay, there's a lot of people put bees in a box, and they think they're a beekeeper. If you don't tend to your hives,
right,
you're going to have issues.
It's like the difference between Bieber and a Belieber, right?
Exactly. You got to watch for your mites. You got to watch for your hive beetles, wax moth larvae.
All right, so wow. I know Claire's been doing her due diligence and her research, but what is the number one nemesis of a beehive, like especially a brand new hive?
Varroa mites and wax and the hive beetles.
What are hive beetles?
hive beetles are little black beetles that go into the cell and they start to eat the larva and destroy the colony.
Can't have that.
And the best way to take care of that, Steve, is you take a Swiffer sheet, unscented, cut it in half, stretch it out, and pin it on four corners of the top bars, and then when the hive beetles crawl across that, their legs get stuck and they eventually die.
All right, not on my watch, man.
A Swiffer sheet.
Yeah, all right. But cut it. You have to cut it in half, unscented. If it's scented, it's gonna hurt you.
Do you know what I might do? I might put the whole hive in the dryer and throw in some bounce sheets.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe that'll work too.
Yeah. no, that's great advice. I appreciate that, Alan.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Alan.
Feel free to email me. And if your wife needs a mentor, I'd be more than happy to come look at her hive sometime. I'm all over the place. Yesterday, I got up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I caught 4 swarms and looked at 6 cutouts. I didn't get home till after 9 o'clock last night.
Wow. You're true to the craft. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm a professional bee remover. That's all right. What I do.
Thank you, Alan. Take care, man. We'll see you.
You're welcome.
Right, bye-bye. By the way, so, Steve, you said mentor. He said mentor. Is that like an industry phrase?
That's what Claire was describing. So we have a couple of people. There's one, I forget the woman's name. She's very nice. She was the one that helped Claire get her bees into the hive on Saturday morning. It was a beautiful morning.
Mm-hmm.
It smelled like bees. And it was glorious. And just to see, again, even from my perspective, that I'm not actually physically doing it, to watch what the bees are doing is kind of like, oh, I guess all that stuff you heard about, drones and, mm-hmm. and you know, and the way they protect the opening and so on and so forth. They're not aggressive. They're just, it's what they do.
So, I'm sorry, did you indicate how many bees you have?
5,000.
Okay.
They count one and they're all numbered. No, approximately 5,000.
Okay.
You know, they can't really know for sure.
Yeah. Wow. So we'll have to, when your harvest comes in,
I'll be bringing that freaking honey in.
We will have to have a honey sample.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. None of that fake honey crap.
Well, when we had those bees that ended up in my neighbor's bush last year, and so they were just there. It was like temporary housing, literally.
Right.
Like, they kind of hung there, and then they sent the drones out to look for new hives. We had the beekeepers come in and take them, and then they ended up giving us some of their honey.
It's fascinating.
It is cool.
And the fact that they could reject a queen, it doesn't happen often, I know, but I mean, there's this very complex communication that they do, and however, you know, and like, you know, everyone is working towards a goal, and it's just amazing, the synergy, to see that nature doing what nature does.
That's awesome. All right, Case, so are we going to talk to
Yes, we have him
guest?
On the line.
We're getting him on the line, from what I understand. So
yep.
Let's see what Connor's doing. All right, yeah, so Kathy's cuts is happening right now, and we will check back in with her in a few. She is at Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting, and also don't forget it's taking place at David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. But we are going to bring on the founder of Wigs for Kids. And, of course, that is the organization that's receiving these donations.
Yes.
And getting a nice big chunk of fluffy hair for this. Please welcome the founder of Wigs for Kids, Mr. Jeffrey Paul.
Hey,
hey, Jeffrey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We have this event that is 15 years strong now. We had to take a couple years of donation off, but Wigs for Kids is the beneficiary. And thought it would be cool to have you on real quick just to tell us a little about the organization and the origins and things like that. How long has Wigs for Kids been in existence?
We just celebrated our 40th year, you know, last year in October. Serving children all over the United States and Canada, providing them with hair prosthetics for free, which normally would cost them $5,000 to $6,000, but they're never charged a penny.
Wow,
that's a big thing because I know there are some organizations. I'm not going to besmirch other places that are trying to do something, but the fact that this is given gratis is what really makes what you do unique. So, and that's the mission statement. How many wigs go out during the course of an average year, Jeffrey?
Normally about 400 or 500, but it's been exploding greater because there's 3 or 4 different categories of children we take care of. There's, of course, the cancer child that we started with my elite niece, Laura, who had leukemia. But now alopecia has become probably 60 to 70% of our clientele that we take care of, and then trichotillomania and burns. But in the situation of a cancer patient, that cancer patient, they maybe needs one hair piece during their treatment. But an alopecia patient might go from with us from 2 years old to 18 years old, and every year we replace them a brand new hairpiece at no cost. And that's why what you guys are doing, I am so pumped. When my PR company said that you guys did it for 17 years, the hair is a very important element. Although it doesn't sustain all the expense, we still, of course, always need the donations to provide for the service of developing the hairpiece. But those ponytails in our organization are the hair that goes into these children's hairpieces. So it is like giving an organ over to a child.
Yeah.
But it takes 15 to 20 or even sometimes 25 ponytails to make one hairpiece.
Wow. And is that because it's using all natural hair and not, you know, substituting? Kathy, who's on location at the event right now, was telling us that there's a methodology to what you guys do and why you need a certain length and so much hair.
So true, because most people don't realize why we have a minimum of 12 inches, but we beg for 16 and 14 inches because a little girl wants to have hair down to her shoulders. And that isn't just the length from the top of the crown down, let's say, is 14 inches, which is what we provide. We need another 4 inches to be able to tie the hair to the hairpiece prosthetic. So that's 14 inches plus 4 inches is 18 inches of hair from the crown down. So the longer the ponytail, the greater the smile on a little girl's face because she gets to have what she desires to look herself, live her life like all her friends are.
Jeffrey, let me ask you, so with all of the innovations in the various things, you know, makeup and other things and wigs and so on and so forth, and I know that there are wigs made of artificial you know, fibers and things like that. Where does that stand, and why is the actual human hair preferable to what you're doing?
Well, that's a great question. Two things that are important. Synthetic has improved in some of the cases of technology, but you still can't use the curling iron successfully. You still can't kind of sleep in it for sleepovers. And if you put it into a ponytail, it just doesn't do what human hair does. But when you have human hair, they can tie it into braids. They can put it in a ponytail. They can get ready for their prom and do an updo.
Right.
And that only can be provided with human hair.
That's why the ones I get at the Halloween store are so crappy. And, like, you know, yeah. you see the picture of it on, then you put it on, you're like, this doesn't look anything like that.
Looks like a dead rat on my head.
Oh, yeah. Preston, if you put a curling iron next to it, it would melt.
Okay. Yeah. That makes complete sense then, the resiliency of the human hair.
That's right.
All right.
And,
okay.
You know, the other thing that is so important about what you guys are doing for us is that everybody asks, you know, what's the hair all about? But hair is not only attached to the follicle that it grows from, it's attached to the child's heart, the inner mirror, and its self-esteem. And when they lose that heart, they break that mirror. And because of the people donating their hair, because of the people donating dollars and cents, and the stylist is doing the wonderful things over there in Philadelphia with you, that's why we can give these children back their image, their self-esteem, their smile again, to look themselves and live their life.
Jeffrey, if people are interested in qualifying to receive a wig, how do they go about doing that?
Real simple. Brand new website. It's all letters, wigsforkids.org. That's wigsforkids.org. And they just go in, I want a wig, and they fill out the forms, and we turn away no one. We just reach out to everybody.
Does it take a little bit of time to find the right one? And what's the process of narrowing down what somebody would want to get?
Well, we have stylists around the country, like the Ponytail Harvesters. They're trained and certified through video, online, digital training. And then we have a next level of stylists that actually gets the caps, the fitting, the measurements, and everything else of the child that needs the wig. And they then send that information into us, and we then go to work. It takes 3, maybe 4 or 5 months to manufacture and produce a wig, and it's gotten a little longer because of pandemic, like everything has. But in turn, it's made then with the color selection they do, the size of their head, and then it's cut and styled by a great stylist that's been trained by us through our Hair Loss University. And the smile on their face when they turn the mirror around and see themselves again with hair is off the chart.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, Jeffrey, on this great organization and the longevity of it. 40 years, that's absolutely incredible. So we're very proud to be a part of it.
Well, thank you for helping us get the message out, because it needs to have the message gotten out there. And you guys have really helped us wonderfully. And the stylist, give her a kiss for me if you're there on location, because she's just amazing all these years of doing this.
Excellent. Very nice. We will do it. Thank you very much, Jeffrey Paul, guys.
Wigs for Kids, and Kathy Romano is, as we speak, out at the Kathy's Cuts event.
So. And she Kathy was the one who spearheaded this whole thing from the get-go. This all grew from Kathy's initial desire to do more with her hair than just throw it away when she got a cut.
Yep, and now 15th year doing it. We had to take 2 years off, but it's been 15 years since it started. So, all right, we got to take a break. You know why? Because we got Concert Cash coming up. We want to stay on time for that Bizarre File and more. Make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon Bridge to the Beach. Celebrating 50 years of riding for a world without cancer.
Hey, it's Marcus. Join me and Team WMMR on Sunday, June 12th for this family-friendly ride to save lives. We'll start by crossing the Ben Franklin Bridge. Whether you ride to honor a loved one or in memory of someone you've lost, you ride for them and with them each and every mile. All Team WMMR riders get the official Team WMMR t-shirt courtesy of Wilson's Secret Sauce in Upper Darby.
The ACS Bike-a-thon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
With home value.
All right, we have to do the Concert Cash. We got to do it right now at 10 o'clock.
MMR's Concert Cash.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
Word is buy, B-U-Y, all right? As in you're going to buy something with that money you win, and you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. Three ways for you to do it. You can text to the special contest short code number 45911. Or if you want to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners get a call from Beasley. Make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by AAA Distributor. And again, the word is buy. So good luck to you. Kathy, we'll chat real quick and just make sure that everything is going smoothly so far.
Everything is going great. We actually just had somebody check in. She drove all the way from Harrisburg to get her haircut.
What? Wow.
She's originally from Norwood, but she got out and she moved to Harrisburg.
Uh-huh. She got out.
Yes, it is going wonderful here. We have people in every chair getting their hair cut. We're kind of getting ready to switch over. We got the 10 o'clock appointments coming in. I'm at Gravity Hair Salon. David Arnold Hair Salon sending me some pictures. It looks like it's going great over there as well. Just want to thank True Beauty Concepts, Duncan, as well for providing breakfast and coffee for everyone this morning.
We're looking at a picture of this gal, Mary Beth, who owns a business, Cakes and More by Mary Boss. And boy, did she have some long red hair. I'll bet that that is a very sought-after color at Wigs for Kids.
I said the same thing to her when she got her hair cut. And believe it or not, we actually had a second donor, a guy that came through who had very similar color hair.
Wow.
And he got over, I think he cut off 19 inches.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Wow. These people have crazy long hair.
It's like Crystal Gale level.
This is awesome.
We just received a tweet as well, too. A person named Sina is a senior in high school. This is their third time donating.
Oh, my gosh.
Donated for the first time in third grade, donated again, and now senior year of high school donating.
Wonderful people.
Kathy, I was going to ask if you've seen many kids this time around. Sometimes we have little kids that have their hair grown out. They're just, you know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what it is. Normally, we see a lot of kids. We actually only had one kid come through here, and I know there was one that went through David Arnold as well. But that's all that I know of are two kids, which is odd because in previous years, we've had a lot. So I don't know if it was just because maybe this event is a little bit smaller than
or it's on a Monday.
It's on a Monday.
And Friday's maybe, a little easier to call out, you know, grab a kid from school, so...
But the little girl that came here, she was 11 years old in fifth grade. She drove from Allentown, New Jersey, and she cut off 14 inches of hair. She got this nice short hair. Her mom was like, I need the hair, you know, I needed her haircut. She wanted it short. You know, it was high maintenance when it was long, and she said as soon as she heard the event, she signed her daughter up.
Awesome. Well, you know, next year what happens is if we do again on a Monday, we want to get more kids, the kids that, and parents, just tell the school the kid is working off a hangover.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. It's a good Sunday or Monday excuse. Right, yeah, I agree.
Is it?
All right, thank you, Kathy. We'll check in and get a little bit later on. In the meantime, we need to do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling. You can get paid for your old computers, monitors, printers, and more at Armor Metals and Recycling. Armor Metals is your e-cycling headquarters. Armor Metals is your most trusted recycling partner. Visit armormr.com for more information. All right, animal rights activists are up in arms over reports that a chicken farm in Iowa killed more than 5 million birds after detecting a case of avian influenza. And what activists say was a gruesome culling method.
5 million.
Yeah, the factory farm later dismissed the more than 200 workers that it had tasked with slaughtering the hens.
In memoriam, I shall be reading every name of every chicken killed.
Oh, 5 million.
Yep. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. Here you go.
After each name, you'll hear.
You'll hear? Yeah, yeah. After every. It's like when they ring a bell.
Stinky.
Yeah.
Pinky. Erasmus. Rhonda.
And only if Gene is there in full face paint while he's doing it. Yes. Wow.
Jebediah.
We'll just have to keep checking in on him.
Rembrandt Farms, where the mass slaughter took place in March, is
Estefan.
Is owned by billionaire Glenn Taylor, one of the wealthiest Iowans and owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, last month, protesters from Direct Action Everywhere, an animal rights advocacy group, stormed the court at home games wearing T-shirts reading Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive.
Did you see the woman getting tackled by this?
Yeah. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship in March announced that it had confirmed a case of avian influenza in a flock of commercial layer chickens in Buena Vista County, where Rembrandt Farms is located. Zoe Rosenberg, a protester.
Charles.
Allegedly.
Nancy.
Alleged that the farm created an environment that made it easy for disease to spread. She said, I don't think that any farm should have that
Pedro.
Many. Should have that many birds to begin with.
There's no hope if a bird acquires an avian flu. You can't. Some aspirin and perhaps.
I don't know.
Some Robitussin.
Casey, chicken soup.
What are you feeding them?
In a horrible twist.
Are you insane?
The only thing that cures them.
By the way, this is pretty bad. So
in the ultimate sense of irony.
Yeah. What is this?
In the memoriam section still.
Let your man. This is from Cats.
Cats chase
chickens.
Cats eat chickens. By the way, listen to this, though. The Storm Lake Times detailed the ventilation shutdown plus method.
Sounds really humane.
By which the birds were killed. The system shuts off farm ventilation. Temperatures rise above 104 degrees, and the birds die slowly by suffocation.
Jesus Christ.
That's pretty gnarly, right? All right, so
you know what I hear? If I can jump in quickly for a second, there was a special over the weekend I was watching about windmills, wind farms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know they create a pressure situation that when bats fly through, it detonates their lungs?
No.
So it will wipe out S loads of bats that happen to fly in the general area. There's something about the pressure, and Nick, perhaps you can look at it, but it'll just like wipe out entire.
Well, then they should probably fight that with, like, I don't even know, maybe emitting some sort of a sound that would keep the bats away.
I don't know. All right, well, listen, I got another story here. And it continues in the chicken vibe. A state inmate serving time in Delta County, Colorado, tested positive for the highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1, after being exposed to birds that were later confirmed to have contracted the virus. The Center for Disease Control confirmed that a person who had worked with infected poultry at a commercial farm as part of a pre-release employment program had tested positive after taking a nasal swab test. The man, who is younger than 40, has been largely asymptomatic and tested negative for it in the follow-up test. But officials believe that the virus may have been in the inmate's nasal passages as a result of working closely with the infected chickens ahead of the tests of the initial positive test.
This stuff is very effed up.
Yeah, but he's fine. I mean, it was bizarre to find it in humans. So I just thought it tied in with the other story, so that's why I threw that in there. Let's see. How about this one? Authorities in Colorado said a suspected pack of wolves caught on camera in unclear footage this week actually turned out to be five St. Bernard dogs.
Oh, God.
Who had escaped from their owner's home.
Were they doing wolf impressions?
The sheriff's office open investigation.
Come on, show them your wolf.
When a video was shown to authorities depicting a group of four-legged animals running near an elk herd on April 25th. The video was shot from a very long distance away, and from lighting and shadows, it made it difficult to determine what type of large four-legged animals were running near the elk herd. The investigation ended when authorities discovered the suspected wolves in the video were actually five St. Bernard dogs who had escaped from their owner in the area. The sheriff's office said the dogs have a documented history of escaping their enclosure in the area, and the owner of the canines is being cited by the Park County Animal Control for permitting a dog to run at large. Huh. And then we'll do... Okay. Then we'll do one more story. Carl the Rooster.
Okay.
Was a precious commodity to downtown Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
Ladies and gentlemen, a word now from Carl the Rooster.
And now, thanks to a concerned effort to find the person responsible for his kidnapping and death.
Oh, my God.
A Jones County woman is being held accountable. On Thursday, Jones County... Jones...
Put him on the phone.
Jones County Juvenile Corrections Officer Kendra Schaefer was issued a misdemeanor arrest citation. She was also fired by the Sheriff's Department.
Can't do that.
Sheriff Joe Berlin said, "We expect those individuals employed by the Jones County Sheriff's Department to perform their duties and live their lives in a professional and honorable manner. The criminal charges against Ms. Schaefer by the police are serious, and we do not tolerate or condone this behavior. Her employment termination is immediate."
So what prompted this?
Despite that, the loss is still hard to take. Matt Stebley, owner of the Twisted Anchor Tattoo, said about Carl the Rooster, "He brought a lot of joy to a lot of people down here. And when a video surfaced showing what looks like the kidnapping of Carl the Rooster... and a second video that apparently shows the dumping of his body in Biloxi."
Look at this note I got. It says, "Cockadoodle dead."
Residents were mortified. Twisted Anchor Tattoo was Carl's main hangout, aww, apparently. And now a memorial has been placed on the front porch where he spent most of his time. The store's manager, Christina Jackson, has led a group investigation to find the person responsible for Carl the Rooster's abduction.
What about Dog the Bounty Hunter?
And murder. As part, yeah, he's been demoted to chickens.
I said some inappropriate things.
As part of the arrest citation, Schaefer was not put into custody, but was given a date for her initial court appearance. So, who knew?
I had some sad animal stories
for you today. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for now. We got about 2 minutes left for you to get the word "buy" over to us. Make sure that you do that now. It's MMR's Concert Cash, and we don't want you to miss this chance. We'll take a break, come back in a second. Lesson, trash, music news, those things are up next.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Monday morning, lots of activity taking place today. Kathy is out for Kathy's Cuts, the return of that event after 2 years. Incredibly successful so far. We'll find out, you know, totals and things like that most likely tomorrow. But we have, we're done with traffic, so we're finished with that. But I guess we can check in with Kathy. Are you there, Kath?
Yeah, you have to check in with me because I'm with right now, I think probably the most, at least as far as a female goes, the most drastic haircut and drastic change. Okay. What's your name?
Rita.
And how much hair did you cut off?
22 inches.
Whoa! 22 inches!
22 inches, but okay, so she got her hair cut from Joe at Gravity Hair Salon, the owner of Gravity Hair Salon. How would you describe the cut that you gave her?
A rockin' pissy.
A rock and pissy.
Pixie. I thought he said a pissy. Yeah. I'm like,
no. A rock and a pissy.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's where you cut the hair and then take a leak.
Okay, a rock and pixie.
So she went with a pixie.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. I mean, it's shaved on the bottom, on the sides, and she got still have a little bit of length on the top. I mean, obviously nothing that was, you were 22 inches of long hair. Do you like it? I love it. I really do. I've been wanting to do it for a long time.
Can we ask on the cameras? I don't know if they could switch over. We're not seeing you guys. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, I want to see this.
I thought you could see us. All right.
No.
We're actually going to, Marissa, Aaron sent over the before picture. She's going to.
Oh.
And then we'll.
Here we go.
That's a short do, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And she had 2 feet of hair before that, basically.
But you came in with that idea. Like, this is what you wanted to do.
Yeah. I had pictures. This is what I wanted. Yep.
And where, like, why a pixie cut? You just wanted a drastic change?
Yeah, it's just something I've always flirted with the idea of, and I went for it.
It completely works for you. My wife has short hair, and I think if you have like a bright face and a good smile, I think it's gangbusters. It looks tremendous.
Yeah, and she does, and she's got a great personality. She was up here. Joe was cutting her hair, and we were just laughing because, as far as a female goes, this is the most drastic change today.
I love it. Excellent. All right, well, we've got just a little more time to go on this, Kath. We'll be, one more segment, then we're done. What time are they on the final appointments now?
Yeah, so the final appointments are in the chairs, and we'll be wrapping up after this hour.
Wonderful. All right, well, we'll do it one more time with you. In the meantime, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away as a prize a 4-pack of tickets for Harry Potter the Exhibition at the Franklin Institute. And we're going to stick with something Kathy-centric. What is the name of Kathy's interpretive dance?
Oh, yeah.
215-263-WMMR. We were supposed to get it here at some point before the show is up at her Kathy's Cuts. But what is the name of Kathy's interpretive dance? If you heard that and you know the answer, call now, 215-263-WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber, trusted experts since 1939. A.D. Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. And you can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Sophie Turner telling The Wrap that becoming a mother has helped her become a better actress. Turner says it takes a special kind of acting to look at a baby that just tore up your vagina and say, I love you. Oprah Winfrey says she never once left her home for 322 days at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. The 68-year-old talk show legend says there were days she felt the walls closing in on her, even though those walls had to travel across 50,000 square feet.
Oh, my God.
And finally, soccer legend Hope Solo has entered an alcohol treatment program nearly a month after being arrested for DUI. I am extremely proud of her for taking this first step, said her butthole.
Oh, my God. Said her butthole.
Who else is on social media?
That's right. Hope Solo's butthole. You're right about that. By the way, somebody recommended, Steve, that when you and Claire start getting honey from your hives, you should call it butthole honey.
Yes.
Oh. Isn't that a great idea?
It's
going
to be a tough sell for her. But I will always consider it that.
Butthole honey.
Yeah.
All right. We will go to... Let's go to Paul and see if we can get an answer to this question, which is, what is the name of Kathy's interpretive dance? Paul, do you know the answer?
Yes, it's the follicle dance.
Follicle. Yay! That is correct, Paul. Hang on. You just got yourself a 4-pack of tickets for Harry Potter the Exhibition at the Franklin Institute. This groundbreaking exhibition celebrates the iconic moments, characters, settings, and beasts as seen in the films and stories of Harry Potter and the Wizarding World. Using best-in-class immersive design and technology. And tickets are on sale now at fi.edu.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yay! Yay! Brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. You can head to your Rita's and get a Reese's Concrete.
Ooh.
Reese's Concretes combine Rita's creamy frozen custard with fudge, peanut butter, and Reese's toppings. And it's available in 3 delicious flavors.
God, I love that custard.
All right, so Ozzy Osbourne, who contracted COVID last week, is on the mend, according to Loudwire. His son, Jack, spoke recently to Tom Newton Dunn's news desk back in England and gave fans an update on Ozzy's health. He said he's doing well. I spoke to him shortly before coming in. He just says hello, and I'll save the colorful language, but he says it sucks. As previously reported, recent years, Ozzy is now 73, by the way, has dealt with a seemingly nonstop string of health issues, including a nasty fall, onset of Parkinson's, multiple staph infections, pneumonia, the flu, and a burst blood vessel in his eye.
You know, for years, he was absolutely like Superman. He had nothing and no issues whatsoever. And then it's like a switch flicked.
Yeah.
Almost after that ATV accident.
Yeah. Catches up to you.
Yeah.
This is pretty wild. Axl Rose joined country superstar Carrie Underwood on stage on Saturday night during her performance at Indio California Stagecoach Festival. And together, Rose and Underwood tackled two of GNR's Appetite for Destruction classics, Sweet Child of Mine and Paradise City. We got some clips to play for you. Let's start with this one. The first one when he comes out for Sweet Child of Mine. He has to go to falsetto now. Yeah. He can't hit those higher, you know, straight up notes. But you know,
he's working it, and he actually looked pretty good too.
He does. He looks decent. Then they banged out Paradise City, so let's play a little bit of that. He looks better than I've seen him in the past.
And she was kicking some Axl Rose moves. Yep. You know, it was very cool.
But no bandana, no hat on. Like, this is kind of a different Axl than we've seen for a while.
His head looks weird.
Yeah, because you're not used to seeing on top of it.
It's like when Keith Richards came out at the concert that I saw when they did the Rolling Stones at the Link and didn't have his thing on. I'm like, who is that pathetic old man?
So it was reported that back in 2020, Carrie Underwood revealed for her love for Guns N' Roses doing an appearance on NBC's Jimmy Fallon. Underwood joked about abandoning her husband and kids to head out to a gun show just after returning from her own road date. She said, "It's hard when you meet your heroes, you know, because I do consider Axl to be somebody who taught me how to sing.
It's wild."
And I was like, "What if I meet him and he's not everything I want him to be?" But he was super cool and nice. So they got along great.
Do you remember when there was some sort of something that, you know, she was like, "Will I ever look the same again?"
She quote unquote fell.
Yeah.
And had to get some sort of surgery, or she had a scar in her face.
So you believe it was just straight up a procedure.
But
she looks great. She looks sensational.
Yep. You have to do that stuff early in life for it to catch up with it later, so that people don't notice it later.
Oh, you think that's what you...
That's why babies should have plastic surgery.
Yeah, baby plastic surgery.
Korn and the Backstreet Boys have been showing each other some love on social media. Mutual Admiration Fest kicked off on Friday when the new metal band sang the Backstreet Boys hit "I Want It That Way" on TikTok.
Love that song.
Nick Carter quickly duetted the video, dressed up as a member of Korn, asking how to correctly do the hair and makeup. And it didn't stop there. Korn's Brian Head Welch also shared a photo of himself and Korn bassist Reginald Fieldy Arvizu. I don't know.
That's too much.
Arvizu. Backstage at Backstreet Boys DNA World Tour alongside Carter. So they've known each other for a little while. I think that's great. Paul McCartney, back on the road, kicked off his Got Back tour on April 28th in Spokane, Washington. And although the set list didn't change significantly since his 2019 Freshen updates, the feature of McCartney duetting virtually with John Lennon on I've Got a Feeling, using audio and footage from Peter Jackson's Get Back documentary, seemed to be the ultimate crowd pleaser of
Holy
the night.
Holy hell, that'd be amazing.
Nick pulled up a picture of Paul that I guess he posted on Instagram. He looks really weird in the picture. I know he's like mid-yell.
Are you talking about the shape of his mouth?
And his eyes. He kind of looks like a doggy say.
I'm not going to.
That was too. Had to be finessed a little bit more.
I'm not doing that.
Not going to ask what's the doggy say?
No.
Not
going to
ask
it? It doesn't have the right qualifications.
It's like a digger.
I had to do that while Kathy wasn't here because she would just eviscerate.
She's driving over here to put her foot up your ass. He does look good, though, man. You got whatever, you know.
He does look like what's a doggy say.
Like a doggy say.
Yeah.
You know?
What's a doggy say?
Yeah. No, you can't do that.
You can't tell me about it.
That is not allowed. Look,
Casey, it looks like he's wearing an updog.
Wait, what's an updog?
The second Grecian Earth.
Why Spokane, Washington? Do they say why he kicked off the tour there?
Suck it.
Yeah. All right.
Let me unzip and you just use your mouth on me.
Jesus
for asking questions like that.
Are you taking your anger out on Casey and me?
You're the ultimate dickfer.
Wait, what's a dickfer?
It's for having sex.
I'll say it because Kathy's not here. You guys are children.
Oh, thank you. All right, so listen, this is pretty cool because in his set list, he kicked it off with Can't Buy Me Love, marking the first time that he's ever utilized the 1964 Beatles chart topper as an opening number and premiered just one tune from his 2020 Top 2 McCartney 3 album with Woman and Wives getting run through early in the first piano set. After a 19-year absence, Macca played Getting Better and You Never Give Me Your Money, although this time out, Paul and the band performed the full band second portion of the tune in the medley, which she came through in through the bathroom window, which had been missing since 2005. Notably, though, yesterday, Paul's most popular composition has once again been dropped from the set list. But fortunately, he's got a lot of stuff he can go to while he is there.
We're thinking of going with the Sup Dog.
What was the setup again?
He looks like a doggy say.
Like a doggy say.
Yeah. Maybe if I said like doggy sigh or something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
What's a doggy sigh?
Were you waiting all morning for the, the right moment?
No, I kind of came up with it during the...
But no one took it. So it kind of just laid there.
I almost went with a rooster say.
Yeah. That would have been better.
Yeah.
What's a rooster say?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh, thank you.
Qualification.
Currently in production is Traveling Band, Creedence Clearwater Revival at Royal Albert Hall. It's a documentary. Deadline reported that the doc, which is being narrated by Jeff Bridges and will be directed by Bob Smeaton, best known for his work on 1995's Grammy-winning The Beatles anthology, and most recently 2021's critically acclaimed The Who Sell Out documentary. Creedence played two shows at the Albert Hall, hitting the hallowed venue on April 14th and 15th, 1970. Man, I'd really be interested in seeing that.
I'm thinking the same thing.
What a great band.
Holy hell.
And that'd be awesome.
I'd love to see, besides a concert film, an actual documentary.
Yeah. Yep, I would too. Because there was contention. There was a lot of strife in that band, but an incredible amount of great music.
Oh, my God.
So Jeff Bridges is going to...
Narrate.
Is he talking like the way... You know how his character talks in Hell or High Water? Is that how he normally talks these days?
No, he's more... Actually, he's more like the dude.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's more like that in his delivery.
I thought he had a little mush mouth thing type going at large
times.
Like this now.
Yeah, because the last two roles I remember him
in,
that one, and there was another one where I was like, is this how he talks now? Is that like his regular?
He's actually like this.
Yeah.
Because I thought there was
a rock band, Creedence.
When he had COVID, and I think we had it in the system, he released a statement, and I thought he was kind of talking. Had this thing.
If you want to hear that, like in Hell or High Water, which is one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. He's so phenomenal. But he's got like he has a full ham in his mouth.
Here, hang on. Is this it?
This was 2019.
Hang on. Oh, no. It's a teaser.
Sounds like a Sup Dog.
No, I think that might have been a teaser for a Super Bowl commercial.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
All right,
about
well,
that.
Anyway, and then one more quick thing. Despite previously asking the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to withdraw her nomination from a possible entry, Dolly Parton is now saying she will accept gracefully, according to an interview she did on Friday on NPR. Dolly's change of heart comes after learning that learning more about the requirements of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She said, "So I just felt like I would be taking away from someone that maybe deserved it, certainly more than me, because I never considered myself a rock artist. But obviously, there's more to it than that."
So when she found out some of the other people who are in it that most people would say that person's not rock, she said, "Oh, okay, I guess so." I mean, Donna Summer is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The inductees will be announced this month, by the way, so we'll find out if she makes it in or not.
And look it.
There you go. That's it in music news. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Wait, Casey's shuffling around. Yes, we have Doctor Strange. It is the Multiverse of Madness, and the screening is Wednesday, day after tomorrow night. And we'll be headed to the King of Prussia, UA King of Prussia, 7 p.m. How would you like to go? We will take callers 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14.
Nice.
How about that? Five callers. Nice. 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. 215-263-WMMR. You get to go see that movie before anybody else. How does that feel, huh? How does that feel? Feels pretty good. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. You ready to wrap up the show? Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're still going. Yeah, just a little bit more before we wrap today's program. We have had Kathy's Cuts taking place, so before I do all our thank yous and all that good stuff, let us go live to Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting. Check in with Romano one more time before things end for the day. Kathy, how you holding up?
Yeah, so we're wrapping up. I think our last appointment is in the chair, and she's about three quarters of the way done. And then we will have everybody wrapped here, and we had some great haircuts. I don't think anybody was under. We had like maybe two people that had 12 inches. The rest had 14 and over. I think the most was that girl that had 22 inches of hair to cut.
How does it feel to have it back, you know, in full the way you've been doing it for years today, Kathy?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It, you know, feels it's a little different because we're at the actual salons as opposed to True Beauty Concepts like we did for the past couple of years. But
right.
Yeah, it was great. You know, people were in and out. People were happy to be here. So many people hadn't cut their hair since the pandemic started and kind of waited for this event. A couple of people saying that, you know, because of COVID and the restrictions, they just, you know, kind of let their hair go and they started growing it. And then they heard about the event, you know, some were here for the first time. So, yeah, it was great. It felt really good to do it again.
Nice. And who all gets the thanks for this event today?
Yeah. So we want to thank Dunkin' for sponsoring the event today. Get ready for summer days with a medium sunrise batch iced coffee for $2 from Dunkin', a bright and balanced coffee made from a blend of beans sourced from Kenya and Latin America. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Of course, I want to thank Gravity Hair Salon. They've been with us since the first year we did this. Joe and Kara are the owners, and all of their stylists that came out today to work for free. Thank you guys so much. David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. They've been with us for a number of years, so thank you to Jason and all of his stylists. True Beauty Concepts, who donated all of the product today. Balloons by Victoria, who did some decorations here at Gravity. And then, you know, Eric Simon, Rodney and his engineers, who set me all up yesterday and were here all morning with me. The MM Army at both locations. And then I have intern Erin here. Hey, guys, I got to meet an intern.
Hey!
Yeah, she did a great job. She was very helpful. There are tons of pictures from both salons, and I'm sure Marissa will get them up, but some amazing before and after pictures. So thank you. Thank you to all of the people that came out, participated, and donated their hair.
Excellent. All right. Good work, Kathy. We will see you back in the studio tomorrow. Thank you so much for another successful event. It is Kathy's Cuts, and there she goes.
Well done. Yep. Well
very,
done.
Very well
yes.
done. I agree.
Yes.
I would also like to thank our in-studio guest, Mr. Mark Summers,
hey!
Was here today.
Mark is
and
great.
Mark was just in town basically for a medical check. He hasn't seen his oncologist in several years because of COVID and so on, and he just wanted to pop in. And, dude, what I love about Mark, Mark's got stories.
Oh, God.
That's
almighty.
What's great about interviewing him is because it's just, he tells great stories of people he met, things he does.
He calls himself a name dropping. I never think of him as a name dropper.
No,
he's got good
either.
Stories about people.
Agreed. So, Mark, we love you. Great to see you. And thank you to the founder of Wigs for Kids, by the way, Jeffrey Paul. It was great. It was his niece initially that gave him the idea to start the organization. She had cancer, and it's been going for 40 years.
It's amazing.
That's incredible. So it was great to have him on this morning. Pierre Robert is in the studio. Hey, man.
Good day. I was nice just hanging out with Bobby De Niro and Robert Plant.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah, and Pacino.
Bobby and Robert get along well?
Bobby and Bob get along good.
Nice.
Well, I can call Robert Bob.
Okay.
I mean, I'm the only guy that Robert Plant allows to call Bob.
Wow.
Yeah. And
you guys are tight.
We are tight.
Yeah.
Say, yo, Bobby, want to do some basketball? And he goes, absolutely. So, you
know.
Like
that?
It's great to have a relationship like
we
that.
We shot that's some cool. pops and,
yeah,
you know.
They like to do basketball.
Just
going to
shoot some pops.
We're going to go shoot some pops. You know, so I didn't have much going on other
okay.
than that.
I got gotcha. You.
Yeah. Bobby, Bob.
It's at this point, you was kind of blasé to it.
Well, I'm very blasé to it, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, I really would have rather, you know, gone to the dentist.
Wow.
But,
don't tell
know.
Bobby that. He'll
well,
be very insulted.
I didn't want to hurt him. You know,
yeah,
because I mean, you don't want those guys mad at you.
No,
I mean,
they're pretend mobsters.
Oh, they are yeah. pretend mobsters.
Yeah, yeah the Sixers are going to do basketball tonight.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I'm excited about that. They're taking on the Marauders, and it's a hell of a game. Uh-huh. It's going to be tight action and quad shots.
Uh huh. Nothing all but right. quads.
Yeah. You know, and we're broadcasting it in quadraphonic tonight.
Absolutely.
By the way.
All four speakers.
All four speakers. You'll get the pop a shot from every shot that's popping.
Mm. It's the revolution in home audio that will soon be completely forgotten.
Yeah. Dude, Ski, you're so right.
You could do basketball today with Pierre. He'll have it for you.
Yeah.
You got
just
got
to trust the process.
You got that. Well, you got that part right.
Yeah.
You got the letter of the day, my man?
That was that Boston guy. Wasn't that his
yes,
name?
Yes, the Boston guy's no longer around.
Oh, isn't he?
No, no.
Oh,
no.
Too bad.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about that sports thing is those people don't stay around long.
They're transient.
Well, I mean, look at all of us. We've been here for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and those people, they come and go, and then poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
Seinfeld's got a line that says, essentially, you're rooting for laundry, which is what you are. You're rooting for the uniform. You're not really rooting for the people behind the uniform as much anymore.
Or the corporation that owns it all.
If you want to be cynical.
I'm not cynical. I'm just hanging out with Bobby and Bob and popping shots. All right? Let's get on with it. We got a letter to do, boys.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
B is in Bobby.
All right, we got a summer concert ticket passport, by the way. Four tickets to each of these four shows that are part of Live Nation's Concert Week. So we have MMRBQ, Coheed and Cambria. The Black Keys, and The Killers. You get to go to all those shows and get four tickets. By the way, get $25 all-in tickets to more than 3,700 concerts nationwide for 1 week only. On sale this Wednesday, 10 a.m. through Tuesday, May 10th.
That's amazing.
Visit livenation.com/concertweek for all of the
Bobby!
Details. There's Bobby.
Bobby!
For you, by the way.
That was me when I got too many shots in me.
Yeah, you were lost in the Grand Canyon.
I was.
Bob!
Looking for Bob.
Bobby!
On my program today, you'll have... it's really bad when I have to bring
it
back.
I know, Preston's retired. He's
done. I'm
already.
At a certain point, it just becomes
Preston leaned back
like
in his chair and put his arms behind his head and said, all right, whenever you touch down, let me know.
Yep.
As I was saying on the program today, concert cash opportunities at noon and 2 and possible MMRBQ tickets. Also, workforce blocks of Bruce and 311. And for Lou Graham's birthday, a block of Foreigner. And I have a little piece of archival stuff of when Lou Graham and Mick Jones came in and sang on my program. But oddly enough, they would not do full versions of any Foreigner songs. They do these little snippets.
I hate that.
I hate it. And
you should have given them Bums Rush out of here.
Yeah, I should have had Bobby come down and kick their ass. But I didn't know.
Was that the original running length of the song, you scum? Play it in its entirety.
Yeah, they would like do these minute and a half versions of Dirty White Boy or, you know, Cold as Ice. And I'm going, why are you doing it that way? But, you know, I didn't have the testosterone at the time to tell them to man up and do the whole song.
Yeah.
So we'll play a couple of those.
All right.
And we'll celebrate Lou Gramm's birthday.
Excellent.
Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Rage on.
Brought today by Acme Markets. Brought to you by Acme. I would have just ended the show right there when you said that. But I'd get in trouble if I didn't read these. So
I need you to stop talking.
From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and by Sunbelt Rental. When you're ready to tackle that large job or weekend project, turn to Sunbelt Rentals for all your equipment needs. Tomorrow's Tuesday, so we'll do Tat Tuesday, and then we'll see what else we can get into. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.